Hey guys, what's up? This is Travis. A couple of things before we start the show. Sorry it came so late, guys. We had a couple of problems with the audio files and the backup files and everything. It took some extra effort and some extra time to get everything fixed. That being said, the second thing is we couldn't use all of the extra high-quality tracks, so we had to stick half of the show with the backup. So unfortunately, it's not up to the quality that we would have liked it, but hopefully you will still enjoy the show, enjoy the antics that that are going on this week's episode with Indus and the Noob Kateers. And if it sucks, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. You can blame Jeff, I guess. Or better yet, blame Scott. Yeah, that makes more sense.
To Interactive Distractions, episode number 131. My God.
Hey.
That is a lot of episodes.
That's getting like old. Your age
plus 100 and almost 100, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
How about that?
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, we actually have people out there that have been listening since episode one. It's crazy. And to those people, I have to say, what the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously. All right, so we have a good show for
your
you lined up today.
Your mom just
loves
you, Chris. Come on.
That's right. This is episode 131. My name is Chris Ferricchio, and sitting next to me is Travis Baum.
Yo!
And across the pond, well, that's not really across the pond. Across the country is Mr. Jeff Chorney.
Oh, word up, guys.
And joining us today from, let's see, I'm not sure where they're from, but I'm sure they'll let us know when they introduce themselves, is the Noobketeers, Brittany.
Woohoo! Hello!
And,
Seattle.
I was going to say Seattle, but I wasn't sure. And and Bees, who I think is pretty close to us, aren't you?
Yeah, just south of Atlanta. I'm about 2 hours south in Warner Robins.
Cool.
In this fest, the deuce.
In this fest.
Yeah, I might have to make it.
Houston nice. County, what?
Houston County, you know my county? Oh, man.
Hell yeah, son. It's not Houston, bitches. It's Houston.
Houston.
That's right.
You guys totally should have met up to record together.
We should have.
That would have been awesome.
That would be interesting.
I will be in it going through Atlanta tomorrow. I'm going up to North Georgia to camp.
Hey, I'm off all day, buddy.
No, my wife will be there. I don't really want you to meet her. I'll keep you at an arm's length if that's okay.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Later today, we are going to be talking about podcasting, basically, and what got us listening and doing podcasts. We've gotten several emails from listeners, and I think we got a voicemail or two. We'll have to see how that works out.
So we're doing a podcast about podcasting.
About podcasting, yeah. How about that?
Damn right.
Hey, you can thank the noobs for that. That was their idea.
Wait a second. That was my idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's his idea. So send all your hate mail to...
Yeah. If it falls on its face, definitely Bees ball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Before we get to that, we're going to be talking about some of our distractions and then some news. And then afterwards, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week.
Man, you can talk fast.
I try to. I'm from New York.
That helps.
But let's get around and find out what everybody's up to, and let's start with our guests. Hey, Brittany, you want to start us out? What's up? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Actually, that's a lie. I was actually sick Tuesday through Sunday, so that was kind of a bummer. But I was able to get a lot of gaming and some anime in, so that was good. So, besides my ass being glued to the couch for the past week, not a hell of a lot's been going on. I'm just looking forward to E3 next month. That would be great.
Oh, you're going, right?
I'm so going, yes.
We'll have to meet up with you, because we've got a few of us going, too.
Oh, hell yeah!
Have fun, bitches.
Yeah, it should be fun. Tear LA up.
Bees, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Like I said earlier, I'm going camping tomorrow, so I'll probably actually be able to finish Spirit Tracks. I've been playing it for like 2 months now, or whenever, since PAX West, or East, when East, I never played it.
Wow, that was back in March, man.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a lot of opportunities to play.
Wasn't that long ago, man. Now I'm going to finally finish it.
Other than that, I've just been trying to scrounge around money to buy some new games, because they're not free.
That's right. And they seem to keep getting more expensive. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially when my wife, she just got laid off, so she's looking for a new job.
Oh, no, that sucks, dude.
So my budget's been reduced to zero.
She's the breadwinner.
Yeah. Oh, she brought home the bacon for sure.
Bacon.
Oh, I love bacon.
Bacon!
Cool. Yeah. Travis, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm not going to talk about what I'm up to and everything. I'm going to do a little quick little DRX because it has a little what to do, what I've been up to and everything. The only thing I was up to about this week was the Lost finale. It was fan-friggin-tastic. Great ending to a show. And like I said, it's going to be a little DRX. All right. Piss on everybody who is hating on Lost, who has not seen an hour of the show and decided to watch the finale. And after they watch it and don't know what's anything that's going on, they're going to bitch about the show and say how stupid it is. Fuck you. All right. Watch the show. I'm glad you watched the ending because now you know how it ends and it's going to ruin the entire show. So you're going to miss out on one of the greatest television experiences of your life. But I didn't miss out on it, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So that's given me a great, great week. I have been in the clouds all week long because of it, and that is my week. Fuck all you guys. Wow.
I feel like you're talking directly to me.
I feel a few feet smaller now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I love you guys, though.
Else. Jeff, what's up, buddy?
This is kind of the exact same way I felt about Arrested Development.
Yeah, I love Arrested Development. But yeah, sorry. My week wasn't as nerdy as that. I didn't watch the Lost finale. But I will at least you know, Travis, that's a good point. Can't rag on something for not watching the finale and being like, just you know, it didn't like you know provide closure. What the fuck do you know about closure? You didn't watch anything. I gave the show. I watched the last like few episodes of the first season, I think it was. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of got into it, but then I just never got into it after that. But my time during that time was watching the NBA playoffs. I'm not going to bore you guys with that either.
Oh God!
So, sports ball.
So we did have a week holiday though on Monday, and it was gorgeous weather here. So me and a couple friends went down to like a park area and just kind of chilled out there and drank some beers, sitting on a hill, watching people be active with their lives as we sat there. And
what
beer? Smoked cigarettes.
Hey Jeff, was it one of those weird like Canadian holidays?
It's the equivalent of like, I wouldn't say our Memorial Day, but it's our Victoria Day, which is totally not like Memorial Day at all, but yeah.
That's what you tell Americans, right?
No, exactly.
Right. Yeah. It's like Memorial
Day. It's really the celebration of the moose. I don't want to admit that to anyone else now, so it's fun. But yeah, it was basically, yeah, a lot of drinking, a lot of chilling outside and barbecuing and stuff.
Barbecuing?
Barbecuing.
All right, cool.
Yeah, what about you, Chris?
Not a lot. Travis is watching Lost. I was watching 24.
Oh, okay.
They were on the same time?
How did that end?
Don't. Yeah. It ended?
let's just say that I needed some closure after that one. They didn't really wrap up the loose ends or anything like that. I mean,
we already knew that there was going to be a movie after this season.
Yeah,
so they ended the series finale. Like, they ended the entire series. They ended it like it's a normal. They pretty much ended it like season 4 ended.
That makes sense.
And usually what happens is, like, in these finales, like, pretty much, like, the big bad, all the, like, the whatever the big threat is, it ends, like, maybe, like, halfway through.
Yeah, so like, half an hour in, like, the threat is neutralized.
And then
the rest is wrapping up the loose ends.
Exactly.
And in this one, it's like, the threat was neutralized, like, 5 minutes before the end. And then it was like, get out of here! And then, you know, Jack runs off into the sunset. And it's like, what the fuck was that about?
I don't need to watch that finale that happened.
Nope.
Here's my question. How are they going to make a movie out of that? Isn't it?
They can. They can do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, what is it going to be, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
I mean, 24 hours.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
126 minutes.
yeah, that's it. I mean, there was a lot of season finales of shows that I watched this week. It was like that and Fringe, and
I watched the Fringe one. That was a good one.
The Fringe one was pretty good, but the end was kind of predictable. But I still liked it. I still liked the way it ended.
The Modern Family's one was good.
Big Bang Theory,
dude. I just started watching Modern Family over the weekend. That show was funny.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. a lot of good shows on right now. But yeah, I mean, this isn't a TV podcast though, so we're going to talk about some video games. So let's start with the other noob this time. And, Bees, what are you playing this week, man? What's distracting you?
Oh, man. Well, if you've been reading my blog, I've been pretty much talking about, Valkyria Chronicles, because I got that for free.
Talk to me, buddy. Tell me you like it.
Well, I love it. I definitely love it. I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through, and I haven't had too many problems in terms of like difficulty or anything, but I've really been surprised at how I liked it. Because I remember I got it a few months ago and played it for like a couple hours and didn't really get into it. I guess because I didn't get to the part where you have the tanks and crap.
Yeah, that's where it
gets. And then once I got to that point, I was just like, this game is totally awesome.
Now,
Brett, did you get to the tanks? I know you didn't really like it.
No, I got to the tanks. I mean, I loved the game, but I wanted something open world where I could go wander and explore and be very RPG-ish. And, you know, there's, you don't.
Oh, I see.
Besides just fighting and cutscenes, you don't do much. So I shelved it, but I want to get back to it. Yeah. But yeah, I liked it.
I just want to do more of the battles.
The battles are so good.
I want to just skip through that. Yeah. Yeah. My only complaint is that I always forget to save it, so I'll play like a 2-hour battle, then lose at the last minute, and then have to do it over again.
Yeah, dude, I save after every turn.
It's like every time.
Well, here's the thing. It's like all right. A little background. Chris is obsessive compulsive. I am. I played the game like up to like chapter 4 or 5 a while back, and then we got. Like me and like three other podcast members from VG Evo got a challenge from one of our listeners, Nabashin. And the challenge was to beat Valkyria Chronicles by a certain time. And he would buy us, like the person who beat it, plus everyone on their podcast, the game. So pretty big challenge.
Sweet.
So
I ended up want to challenge us.
Actually, dude's a student, so he was saving up for it, but,
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up playing through it all and I beat it. And, you know, I have no idea where the fuck I was going with this, but, it got to the point where it was so addicting. I just kept playing it all the time. And, what I was going to say to Brittany is that you do get to explore, but you only get to explore like during the battles. There's actually like places that you can go and you can find special enemies and stuff that give you weapons and shit like that. Huh. But it only happens during the battles and because, The battles are on landscapes that are so large that, you know, it actually rewards you for going out and finding out what's going on. But Bees, what I was saying is that like every time I felt like there was a shot that I might not make, like if I'm trying to get a headshot that's pretty far away, I mean, I'll save it first and then make the shot. And if I miss, I'll reload. So I kind of cheated that way. But I kind of cheated that way. But
that's smart.
Too bad you can't do that in real life, eh? But
I know, right? My life would be completely different. That's for sure.
Stay before I ask this girl out.
Yeah. That's what that one Canadian said. Ask this girl out.
Oh, it didn't work. Let me rewind this real quick. Good thing I saved.
Saying that out loud would definitely be awesome. 1 second. Let me reload my checkpoint.
That's right. If only real life were like a video game.
Oh, good
shit. But yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do love that game, though.
So. No, that's about it. And then, like I said, I was going to try to finish Spirit Tracks this weekend. So that's about it.
Good luck with that.
I guess with a little Modern Warfare 2 thrown in there, since I can't afford anything else right now.
Good hype. I just rediscovered my love for Modern Warfare. I don't know what happened. So.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Someone gave you a free code for the DLC.
I'm sure as heck not paying for it.
That's right. $15 for what? Like 3 maps?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Cool. Well, Britt, how about you?
I've been playing Fable 2 for about a month now. I have a horrendous backlog. So one of my goals in life, which I'll never accomplish, is to play all of the games in my backlog. But, I don't know. Since I was sick, I had a bunch of time just to kind of try to burn through it and finish it. But I got tired of it. I burnt myself out on it. And I do this with a lot of my games, as I get so focused on the side quests. And like with Fable 2, it was like the renown and then the treasure hunting and then owning property and then the marriages and whatever. So by the time I wanted to get back onto the actual story, I just couldn't get into it. So I was like,
What happened to me.
Yeah, so I just shut it off, and then I started playing Earthbound instead.
Nice.
Now, to be clear about Britt's, backlog, it actually spans about 4 giant cardboard boxes, 4 generations, and about 400 games, right?
Holy crap.
Yeah, Mario 3's in there somewhere.
No, no, dead serious. It is, isn't it, right? Like, no, back to the
I don't even know half the games I own. I don't know.
Oh my God.
But one funny story is she found one time and posted on her blog that she found a copy of Resident Evil 5 that she didn't realize she bought.
The collector's edition. Not just the game, the collector's edition. I was like, oh shit.
You forgot you had it.
Oh yeah. Hey. This is like the birthday all over again.
You can see that happening.
See what?
You can see that happening. And that cuts out a bit.
But and then besides Earthbound, I tried some Galaxy 2 last night.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Right, we could talk about
it because we've all played it.
Galaxy. Yeah.
Did you play the first Galaxy?
Yes, I did. I beat it. Yeah, I didn't.
Wow,
get all the stars.
That's not in your backlog. That's awesome.
Did you get all the stars? Is that what?
Hell no! Are you kidding
240?
Me?
240
for that shit.
I got all 240.
Me too. What?
Sweet. I'm giving you a high five.
You guys are hardcore, man. I got 120 with Mario, but when I played with Luigi, I got like 11 or 12 stars in, and then got distracted by something else.
The general consensus is the people who beat the game with Mario and started playing as Luigi to go through the second half of the game have found it, and I've read boards that have said this, that people who have beaten it found it easier to play as Luigi, especially in the later stages, a lot of the special stages toward the end, where the people who didn't beat it found it harder. When I am in, I agree with the first set of people. Like, I played a lot better with Luigi. He's a little tougher to control around the turns.
We can jump farther, right?
He jumps further. Yeah.
He runs a little faster too.
And it really, really helps in the later stages. And I found it much, much easier to play. So yeah, getting the second 120 stars really was easy for me. And since you beat it too, Billy, what did you think about playing as Luigi compared to Mario?
It's been like 2 years, but I definitely remember like, oh man, it's completely different. I mean, like it has been in every Mario game, to be honest. I mean, Mario and Luigi have, just traditionally controlled a little different, but yeah, I definitely noticed it was easier. I mean, it helps that you know all the levels like the back of your hand because you already played each one like 5 times.
Did you play straight through? Like after you beat Mario, you just went straight through and beat Luigi, or did you like put it down for a little bit?
Well, to be clear, this was when I was in college, so I had to make games last because I didn't have any money. Kind of like now.
Right.
Except I was in college, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, back to Britt, what do you think about Galaxy 2?
It's the Mario game. It's a lot of fun. It looks good. It's fun. It's just kind of what I would expect from, a game as like Mario Galaxy. And I always say this is my only complaint. When I play a Mario game, I just wish I could play with like a controller without having to worry about pointing at the screen or making sure the sensor bar can pick up the signal. Just because when I play Mario, I just kind of like veg and just kind of like chill, and it's just a game you just play without really having to think too much.
Right.
And it's kind of like a game I like just play on the side. So like yesterday when I found out you have to point at the screen for Yoshi to like, aim his tongue and eat something.
Yeah.
That was the boner kill. I was like, oh God.
Boner kill? That's awesome.
You just went flaccid right there, right?
That was it. I was like, fuck this game. No, yeah.
Honestly, Brittany, I'm with you on that because I really felt like it was kind of out of place that you had to point at the screen to tell Yoshi what to eat.
Yeah.
Yes.
It didn't really make sense to me. It felt like, when I think of Yoshi, I mean, of course you'd think of Super Mario World. In Super Mario World, you pushed a button and he stuck his tongue out. And in this one, it's like you have to point and shoot and it doesn't really feel the same.
Granted, in Super Mario World, you just had left or right. But it's like there should still just be like a button where it just sticks his tongue out whatever way he's facing and just hope you hit.
Right. And it got like grab something that's nearby, if it's within like a radius or something like that. And honestly, with the whole pointing thing, it's like the most fun that I had with the first Mario Galaxy was when I was playing the game and my wife was sitting next to me with the second controller. Controlling the pointer, grabbing all the stars and stuff and how you could hit the button and grab enemies so they couldn't move anymore and shit. I mean,
so that's what you're supposed to do? I always got someone and they would just screw me up by making me jump and stuff.
See, it's funny that's the most fun that you had, Chris, with it because I was having Megatron do that with me as well with Megatron's my wife, by the way. But,
oh, okay. Megatron. I love the name.
And I was having her,
like a robot or something.
I was having, like,
if you don't know the backstory to that, it really sounds fucking weird, man.
It does, but I rolled with it. It's okay.
Starscream!
I had Megan controlling the getting the star bits and everything, and yeah, it was fun, and she was having a good time, and I'm doing all the hard work and everything. Well, that sounds really bad, but anyway, and so yeah, it's fun up to a point, and then all of a sudden, okay, there's a lot of trial and error when you get to certain levels in Mario Galaxy, and when I'm sitting there getting pissed off and more pissed off because I keep on dying over the same shit, and this is the kicker. Why don't you stop playing for a minute?
No, I will not stop playing for a minute. No. You can put your controller down and go in another room because I
and make
not
me
stop.
A sandwich.
And make me
a ham sandwich, right?
With one
that's
piece
the other
of bacon
thing
on
is
it,
when
like
I'm frustrated
I like.
And I'm playing with somebody else. Like my casual friend will come over and she doesn't know anything about anything gaming related, but you know she has fun pointing the remote at the TV. But it gets in my way so many times. And I just get so frustrated. I'm trying to be nice and calm because I don't want to scare her away from her first gaming experience. But I'm just like, God, get that thing out of the way. It's just floating everywhere on screen and she's shooting shit everywhere.
Play one of the Lego games that you can play two players, two people on the screen at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
good
idea.
That is the
worst experience you'll ever have in your entire life.
Oh.
Terrible.
Yeah, because don't you have to move, like, together, like,
yeah,
to get to
one
the stage.
Person could be on the
and
left.
And if one person, like, waits, and, like, you're in the middle of a jump, and one person all of a sudden waits at the other edge of the screen, and they just fall to their death.
It's
bad.
It's worse than the Wii Super Mario Brothers. It's worse than
that.
It's worse than
that.
It's way worse than that.
Bubble! Oh, bubble! Fucking bubble!
It's all bubble, and then the game ends.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah,
it's that damn button! Hit it!
So besides
fuck you, Mom, I don't care if you get hurt.
So Brittany, besides the Yoshi's tongue not being, you know, being annoying, I'm not sure how to take that, but what else? I mean, what do you think about the game overall so far?
Overall, you know, I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I loved Super Mario 64, and then from there, Galaxy and everything. So I mean. You know, I'm only a couple hours into it, so I've only gotten, geez, I don't know, like 5 or 6 stars.
Hey, you're ahead of me.
But, oh, woo! But, other than that, you know, it looks fun. You know, the controls are pretty good, and I'm still getting used to them. But other than that, great. Fun times.
Cool. Yeah, I'm in the camp of, you know, besides Yoshi, more of the same. But that is definitely not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That is definitely a good thing when it comes to Super Mario Galaxy because it is probably one of my favorite platformers. One of my favorite 3D platformers of all time.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Hmm? I haven't played Mario Galaxy 1.
Okay.
Let's pick up 2, go right to it.
Well, yeah. Okay. Here's a weird little gripe. Okay. I know there's not much, there's never been anything exciting about the storyline in Mario, in Mario games in general. Maybe except like Mario RPG, but who counts that? But, okay, Mario Galaxy 2 acts like Mario Galaxy 1 never existed. Ever. It's like Galaxy 2 is a reimagining.
Well, I'm not talking about story-wise. I'm talking more like, can I get the same experience for 1 that I could in 2?
Absolutely, it's the same game.
Yeah, you could. It literally is the same game. It's like, it's Mario Galaxy with Yoshi. And I think I actually read an article where the Mario Galaxy 2 only came about because they had so many leftover assets from Mario Galaxy that they cut from the game.
Yeah.
So they basically just, they had a Mario Galaxy 1.5 and they just added enough content to it. Did you read that article too?
Well, I didn't read that, but it was funny you said that because I was going to explain it to Jeff just now that don't think of it as Mario Galaxy 2. Yeah, think of it as Mario Galaxy 2.0.
Yeah.
Like it's an upgrade.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's literally just.
So then why doesn't this get shit on like every other game that doesn't add too much and just adds like more levels?
Double standard.
It's Mario.
It's Nintendo.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, but it is good though. It's worth. I don't know perfect 10 worth, you know, but no. I do think it's worth the high scores, because even though it's doing a lot of the same, it's not. There are no glaring flaws. Maybe aside from like the Yoshi controls, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Continue. What else?
Oh, that's it.
Okay, cool.
Talking to me? Yeah. No, just those three.
we were still on you. We're half an hour into the podcast. We're still talking about you. Travis, all right. How about you, man? What are you playing?
All right. Mario Galaxy 2, we talked about that already.
All right.
I beat Red Dead Redemption.
You beat it?
I beat it.
For what? Damn, PS3?
Dude. PS3.
I'm
sure if you have seen me on.
Hey, I got dibs, buddy.
If you've seen me on the PlayStation 3, you've probably seen me on that all week. 28 hours in since Tuesday. And,
hey, 28 hours. 28 hours is pretty good for a sandbox game.
Yeah, and I hate it. And there's still, and actually,
you probably didn't do a lot of side missions either.
I'm doing a lot of the side missions. When I'm looking at my, I'm telling you right now, I will 100% this game. I will 100%.
No, wow.
That good, huh?
I'm 83% in already after 28 hours. And it's just, it's fantastic.
It is good.
I can't talk.
Hands down, John Marston is one of the best video game characters ever in the last decade.
Oh, dude, and just wait.
That's what I've heard.
And just wait. If you like John Marston, dude, just wait. Please finish it. You've got to beat the game.
Oh, no, dude, I'm going to.
His story comes full circle so well. His story comes full circle so well. You've got to finish it. It's brilliant.
Oh, I'm gonna finish it, dude. Like, I don't finish open world games. Yeah. It has me hooked. Once I start playing it, I have to force myself to stop and play Alan Wake for a bit.
Well, I just completely dropped.
That good, huh?
I just completely dropped.
No, I love Alan Wake too, but the problem is, like, just dude, the second you put on Red Dead, there's so much stuff you can do that. But I don't get that overwhelming feeling with Red Dead that I got with the GTA games for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Well, because it's so open, but it's so much more, to me, so much more realistic as a video game. Like, the immersion that they put you in, like, in a Grand Theft Auto game, you have this whole city to yourself. But in a city, in real life, you could go walk into any door you want, in Grand Theft Auto, with Liberty City, maybe you can go into 1% of the buildings that are available to you in the entire city. But this game, since everything's so spread apart and these buildings are so, few and far between, you can go probably into about 70 or 80% of every single building in the game.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Thing with me, I think, is I don't have some dickhead bugging me on my cell phone every 10 minutes.
I love them getting rid of the cell phone.
Oh, dude, like, I'm just like, I can choose what I want to do. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do here and do this. And the biggest thing I'll have, like, that gets in the way of from point A to point B is someone asking for help that takes, like, maybe 10 seconds to complete a really simple task, and then you get money or fame or something for it, and then move on.
Right.
And I think that's one of the big things with me, why I'm still playing.
Does the horse have GPS?
Unfortunately.
Well, actually, yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. I don't know why I was saying no, it does. Totally does.
That's awesome. Sold!
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, I can go and say this is way better. Jeff can go on and say it's way better because of the fact that, okay, he didn't like GTA, but he can totally get into this game. But at its core, it is GTA.
Oh,
it is GTA. Yeah. But, you got to give it to those Hauser brothers, especially because Dan was the one who did a lot of the writing on this one. Dan Hauser, he has put himself up there as some of the elite in the industry of writing video games.
Like, I think this is written way better than GTA 4.
I think this is written way better than most movies. Oh. I'll go ahead and say this. No, dude, finish the story.
Well, I have a couple issues of the way that John, as much as I love John Marston, some of the way he acts and how he does things, but that's not really the writing. That's not dialogue. That's just, he's basically someone's bitch I'm about, I don't know, 15 hours. No, I wouldn't say 15 hours. I don't have any hours in I am. But he's basically someone else's bitch for a long time.
Okay.
And it doesn't really seem like he gives off that I'm going to be someone's bitch.
No,
for
but
this
there's a reason.
Time.
And he the reason keeps on.
Well, I know the reason he's
worked 1,000 times.
The reason he's with the government because everyone hates the fucking government.
No, because they have his family captured, and are threatening his family, so that's why he's having to do this stuff.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Spoilers. Hey, thanks.
It's not a spoiler. I tell you that in the very beginning. We have your family. You know. Quit drinking when
Did they say that at the
games.
Beginning?
Yes. They let you know.
Oh, shit.
He reminds you almost every single... Why are you doing... Why are you with the government? Why are you with the government? They got my family. They say it like every 10 minutes.
Dude, I swear on my life they have not said that. Like, well, maybe at the beginning, but every time they say, why are you talking? Like, do you work for the government? He basically just says, like, no, I'm doing this because I have to. He hasn't actually given a reason yet. That's like all that comes out of his mouth. So I'm doing this because I have to.
Well, I knew it from the beginning. So,
well, here's my question, right? Is, what's the style and like the substance of the story inspired by? I mean, like, cause there's a whole wide variety of different Westerns. There's like your John Wayne Western, which is kind of boring and you fall asleep halfway through.
You're asking the wrong person because I don't really know Westerns.
And there's like Sergio Leone, the trilogy, you know, The Man with No Name. I mean, what's it really take influence from? Does anybody know?
Western style, I really don't know. I'm not really big on those types of
movies. Yeah, I hate Deadwood, maybe?
Deadwood?
Yeah, I see a lot of Deadwood in it, and shit.
The only Western experience I've ever had is Wild Arms. I don't think that counts.
Though, I brought it up last week.
Did you ever watch Firefly? That's my Western right there.
Well, that is a Western practically. It's a space Western.
Thank God it's in space, because then otherwise I probably wouldn't care.
I mean, I've seen a lot of different Western movies, so I know that, you know, it's like of all the genres and movies, I think it's probably the widest interpretation of different the styles and stuff, if you know what I mean.
Actually, right. Like, I wanted
very, very different.
Oh yeah. So, well, I've only seen like a few, but they've all been pretty great. As Travis, one of your movies that you liked was 310 to Yuma.
Yes, I did.
Oh yeah, that movie's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching that movie. I just watched it on, I think it was last week. I can't remember. Like, no, maybe it was this past weekend. I can't remember what it was. I remember I made a mental note to remember and talk about this in the podcast, but obviously that didn't work out because all the beer that was drank. But watch that movie again, and you will be like right away, like, Red Dead got it from here. Red Dead got it from here.
Right. Okay.
For sure.
Well, like, those old Westerns, you know, you can tell movies suffer by the times that they were made. And with those Clint Eastwood Westerns, those John Waynes, they're very, very, I mean, even though they're people view them as classics, they are kind of corny. Just because only the fact that they were filmed at that time. But 310 to Yuma goes for that real life grit, and of course, Red Dead is going for that real life gritty Wild West as well, and that's where the similarities are going to be. Because I do agree that with 310, there is a lot of similarities with Red Dead.
Yeah. Oh, there's some like direct references.
Oh, really?
Like direct. Watch the movie again, because I would go ahead and be like, I'll watch it again, and then tell you, but I'm not going to watch it again. But check it out again, watch it, and right away you'll be like, they actually make direct reference to that in Red Dead Redemption. It's pretty crazy. I'm really mad that I can't remember that now.
Good job.
What a bitch.
Brain fart.
Yeah. What good am I?
Yeah.
You're not at all.
But awesome game, though, Travis. If you beat it already? That's fucking damn. Okay, I'm basically 3 missions into Mexico. How close am I?
Oh, you got a while. About 10 hours left, man.
Dude, okay,
have you played any of the multiplayer?
I haven't touched the multiplayer just because I wanted to drill. I wanted drill through the single player, but now everybody, I'm not ignoring you. Now when you start sending me invites, I'll actually jump in and start playing with you. I really wanted to beat the single player.
That's what's driving me nuts, is because I get on my PS3 and I see it's like 8 out of the 10 people who are online at the moment are playing Red Dead, and it's driving me crazy. So I really have to go get that.
I liked the multiplayer from when it played, but it's kind of like GTA, like free roam, but with missions inside of it, which is kind of cool. But I don't know. I just look at it as more of a single-player game. Even when I'm done the single-player, I can't see myself putting in a lot of time in the multiplayer.
And I hear in the multiplayer,
I'd rather spend time playing games.
I hear in the multiplayer, you need to try to stay away from like the casual mode. Is there a way to like separate casual from hardcore? Because with casual mode, people can play with the auto aim, and in an
Well, if you set your own game, like if you basically host it, do free roam, you can turn that off.
Yeah, well, you would want to, because I can't imagine trying to fight somebody with auto aim on. That would be like way too stressful.
The handicap.
Well, it's just like
if
you know,
see someone first, they're dead. That's basically
that's not cool. Play hardcore. Aside from Red Dead Redemption, loving it. It was a great ending. I love the game. Aside from that, when I got to play a little Alan Wake, because I beat it today, so I was like, okay, now I can play Alan Wake a little bit more since I beat the game. Played a little bit more of that, and my main gripe, last week when we talked about it was my only gripe, because the rest of the game is terrific. But just, you know, all of these, like, extra collectibles, like the manuscripts and these coffee thermoses are all strewn about, and you want to like go and search every nook and cranny. It completely takes me away from the experience. It's like, okay, if I'm Alan Wake, and I'm being chased by darkness demons in the shadows, and I'm in darkness, I want to get the fuck out of here and try to find...
Look at a coffee thermos!
Yeah.
You know, I heard about the coffee thermos thing. Okay, so the manuscript collection, I can understand.
I can understand that.
But thermoses?
It's
really?
Achievements. You collect enough, you get more achievements.
Fuck that. That's
all right.
I hate those kind of...
And it takes you away. And not only this is searching every nook and cranny, when you should be getting the hell out of Dodge, but you're searching every nook and cranny, that takes you out of the story right there. Okay, well, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to get myself... I want to release myself from the story and go look for a thermos. But not only when you find a thermos, you're in pitch black dark, but there's this big old shiny thermos. You can see it from a half a mile away. And it really takes you away from the experience when everything's in pitch black except for your next objective, which is, you know, lit up, you know, by like a street lamp or something. You know, that's how you know where to go. Is, okay, a street lamp's lit up. That's your next objective. But next thing you know, you see a little thermos catch your eye. And it really takes me away. So now I'm officially just going straight through the game. If I see a manuscript or a thermos, yeah, I'll pick it up. But I'm not going to go out of my way to find it. Not going to.
That's actually the way I feel with almost every game that has collectibles. Is I'll just go through it one time. And then if I feel compelled enough to go through it a second time, then I'll do that.
Yeah, and believe it or not, it actually doesn't bother me that much in most games. But it bothers me in this game for so much because the mood is presented to you in such a great way that it really takes me out of it.
Well, in the game's defense, though, there's no thermoses outside in the wild unless they're on like a bench or something. They're usually around
bullshit,
the lit areas. Or they're inside like barns, shit like that, where you're not like there's not really that many in the forest, and the important manuscripts are on the main line of the game.
Yeah.
So unless you want to like really get every single one and get like every little tidbit of the story, yeah, you go searching around. But it's I do the same thing. I'm like, fuck this, I'm not gonna look for them anymore. If I see them, I'll grab them. No big deal.
So the mood of the game. Do you feel like you always need to keep going? Like you need to.
Not really.
No.
When it's dark and it's real tense and you're being chased all the time, yes, you need to go. Billy, I really harken back to the nightmare moments of Shattered Memories, of Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about.
Those really tense moments, like when you're in the action-packed shooter area of Alan Wake, it reminds me of that, which are great, great moments because you are in danger and you know it and you want to get the hell out.
Yeah.
Not collecting thermoses. No, there's no time.
Are you past episode 4?
I just started episode 4. I just got out of the office.
Okay, episode 4 is fucking fantastic.
Really?
That is the turning point to me on this game. Like the first 3 episodes, I was kind of like, it's a good game, but it doesn't totally have me, but the entirety of episode 4 was just fucking, this is awesome. I can't wait to get in the next 2 episodes. And yeah, it's really, really good. Cool. I'm just going to say the stage. Awesome. The stage. You'll know it when you get there.
I read a manuscript already about something like that. So yeah, I'll,
yeah, it is fucking rad. And I mean, the whole episode, a lot of stuff is revealed to you. It ends at like a perfect note right before the next episode starts. And yeah, good stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
it does present itself like a TV show, correct?
Yes, it does.
Yes,
it does. Which is very cool.
Keeps you wanting to play.
Keeps you wanting to play.
Keeps you wanting to play.
Nice. Go home.
Go home, bitches. Well, that's it for me, I believe. Yes, that is it for me. So, Chihoff, do it too.
Yeah, I'm gonna like basically the big 2 games, Red Dead, we already talked about, Lovin', Alan Wake, which I was liking, but pretty close to Lovin' right now after chapter 4, that's for sure.
Right.
Chris, especially the stage part, you being a lighting whore will jizz all over yourself.
that's the thing, man. I love seeing good lighting in games. I don't know what it is.
I don't know why you will not play this game. Like, are you planning on playing it?
I'm not planning on not playing it. It's just that right now it's not like, it's not my main focus. I've got other games that I'm playing right now.
So it's like $60 porn to you, but it is.
Yeah, pretty much. $60. Well, the thing is, like, that's another topic. I won't get into it now, but the whole DLC versus how much the game costs thing, which we don't know how much the DLC is going to be right now, so I can't really comment on it, but because they're going to release episodes to further the story or look at it from a different perspective.
Oh. And I mean, every episode's like an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe, I guess. Average probably like an hour and a half, I think. Travis, would you say, like one episode?
Yeah, which, I mean, though.
Probably like an hour and a half-ish, hour 45 minutes. And so when you look at it that way, it's basically like $60. You're basically paying, I don't know, $10 an episode. Anywho, like I said, totally different discussion.
I hear a siren. But,
That's
every week.
Yeah, like, every week, man.
He lives on the main streets of Toronto.
Streets. Someone stole someone's moose. It's all good. Don't get too far.
Someone got beaten with Canadian bacon.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I don't know what I was saying. Anyway,
sorry,
Chris,
I interrupted.
No, dude, I'm definitely not shunning the game at all. I haven't gotten, you know, it's not necessarily on my radar, but I'm not against playing it. It's just something that I, you know, I've got other games that I'm playing.
Definitely
right now.
Rent it or borrow. I'm not sure.
B said it first. You made a great point. To me, this is a rental still.
Yeah. Well, how long is this game, real quick? Is it like, what, 10, 10,
supposedly
12 hours?
7 or 8 hours.
7 or 8?
I don't think
that's the perfect rental.
I find most of 7 or 8 because I'm already at like 5, and I think I'm at, chapter 4.
That's what's confusing me. It's like, how many chapters are there?
Well, I think if you explore it.
Well, there's apparently 6. There's 6 episodes, and the episode 4 took me 2 hours to get through.
Right.
Or like just under 2 hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where that left me off my clock is at, but I'm thinking 6 or 7 is probably like speed running, like not fighting anything, just running from checkpoint to checkpoint. I'm thinking about, I'd say 8 to 10 or 8 to 12, depending on your skill, I guess.
Yeah. Well, my brother is actually just shipping off to boot camp, or actually just did on like Tuesday. And, he's packing up his Wii, PS3, and 360. Of course, I have the other two, but his 360 I'll be playing.
He's planning on playing these in boot camp?
No. He's packing up. He's giving it to me.
Oh, like, I see. Oh, yeah. I was like, which branch of the military is this?
The best it may be the Navy.
So I'll be having a 360 for the summer. So I'll be playing Mass Effect 1 and 2 because I never played those.
Yes!
And then I'll be renting
games of the year.
I can say, like, as gorgeous as Alan Wake is, like, it really is a gorgeous freaking game. Like, little bit of character model quirks aside, it is really good looking. But I'd say it probably is a rental. Even if it is, like, fantastic, because I can't see anyone playing it through again after you beat it once. And if it is only like 8 to 10 hours, then what's the
point? That's a perfect length for a rental, actually. Like 8 to 10 hour length games.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Of course, lots of Super Street Fighter.
Get hype!
Of course. Yep. Played that a shit ton. I actually downloaded the 99 Nights 2 demo.
I've heard bad things,
I thought it was god. Honestly, I thought it was terrible. I know we have some fans of that kind of stuff, like Dynasty Warriors and 99 Nights, but I basically was like, okay, how many times can I hit X and Y over again with crappy, like, animation? And
it's just like a hack and slash,
a lot, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
It's Dynasty Warriors, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not impressed. I actually thought the first one was a little bit more stylistic and kind of better, but that was not saying much.
I haven't played a hack and slash style game since, like, the Lord of the Ring games on the GameCube.
Oh, wow. Oh, those ones are way better than the ones that are coming out these days.
That's awesome.
These ones are mindless.
Nice.
Doom 2, Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, nice.
I didn't buy it, but I downloaded the trial.
Is it the Japanese one? The one that's available in Japan only?
What?
Doom 2 was originally, like, it was in the news this week. You can only get it on your Japan account. So they released it on the American account, though?
Oh, yeah, it's on the American one. Yeah, it came out on one. That was like their game of the week or whatever. Plus some other game that was...
Well, the week before, the big news thing was you can get it on the Japan Xbox Live, and that, oh, is it coming? And then they released it the week after.
Okay.
I'm living in the past, my bad.
Yeah, but no, it's Doom 2. Still can't look up or down. Depressingly, it's still fun.
It's still fun.
Yeah, it was alright. I played through the one level they give you that takes literally, I think the par, you know how they like pars to beat it, was 30 seconds.
Nice.
And I'm like, wow, you get 30-second fucking trial.
That's awesome.
Yeah, whatever. That's basically it, though, man. Lots of Street Fighter, Red Dead, and Alan Wake. Sweet. Chris. Cool.
Well, I don't have much to add. You know, we talked about Super Mario Galaxy already. I played some more 3D Dot Game Heroes. I'm probably going to be
write my review of that for the site over the weekend.
Oh, real quick, can I say something to interrupt you? We haven't brought it up on the site yet, guys. If you haven't seen our 3D Dot Game Heroes in Dispressions from live from Battle and Brew,
awesome.
Check it out, man. We had a really good time doing that, and we thank Sean and Battle and Brew and everybody up there, and Atlas for sending us the copy. That was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Guys, check it out if you haven't seen it. Just go on YouTube or go on our site and check it out. Jason worked hard on that to get it up there as fast as possible. So yeah. Please check it out.
Cool. Yeah, awesome game. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, do it. Check out the video. But yeah.
Do it. I thought you said something.
Yeah. I thought you said, wait.
Well, I thought that's why I told her to, that's why I said, go ahead. I thought she said, oh, wait.
Check out the Nuketeers, too.
Nice.
Let's see, what else? Half Minute Hero on PSP.
Nice.
Still doing that like every week, you know, just a little bit, you know, one or two missions each week. It's just a fucking awesome game. So
I think I want to play that on break,
dude. It's so good. It is so good. All right, cool. But yeah, I mean, that's about it. You know what? I went out and I got Best Buy to price match fries for me, and I threw in some additional Best Buy reward zone points, and I picked up Mod Nation Racers. I haven't actually played it yet. Hey, it's I do like the kart racing, and we have a couple friends that are getting into it. So
stay tuned for Chris Riccio next week on the PlayStation Nation.
Go fuck yourself. Okay. But yeah, that's about it for me. It's been more about trying to finish up 3D Dot Game Heroes. So I got to write that review. So I'm gonna get that up this weekend.
Sweet.
And that is it. For distractions, let's try and blitz through some news here. We do have a few stories to talk about. Jeff, you want to run us through this?
All right. So news of the week, not too much here that we really give a shit about, really. But one, kind of a rumor, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus might be getting an HD makeover.
Oh, I heard about this. It's awesome.
Being released in January, a la like God of War Collection, which we all hope for this. Back when God of War Collection came out, we're like, ah, man, if there's any kind of series, want to see how this kind of treatment.
Yeah, this was the one we
talked
about.
Pretty much unanimous.
Yeah, absolutely. And this worked out really well for Sony, because, you know, like when they did the God of War Collection, they sold like freaking 500,000 copies of these games that were already sold, you know, years before.
That are out of print, yeah basically.
And you know, and then it turns around and it brings up hype and excitement for the new game coming out. So it's perfect to do with Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. I mean, you have two really great games. One which is a little bit harder to find than the other as far as Ico is concerned, and then you put them on the same disc right before the third Ico, the third game from the company. For some reason it's slipping my mind. What's it called?
Last Guardian.
Oh. You know, it's going to come out before Last Guardian comes out.
It'll
generate that hype, and I think that's what Sony is looking to do. So, you know, great idea. Good on their part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that being said, a rumor is being January, that kind of confirms that Last Guardian isn't coming out this year.
Yeah, it does. And so it'll probably be, you know, it's likely it'll be if this is a true rumor and it does come out in January, then it's likely it'll be like a March release again, just like God of War.
Yeah, and Sony's track record of their rumors becoming true.
they're so good at keeping their lid on news like this shit, you know?
They're batting like 1,000, I think, or something. Yeah.
Crazy. And this is a win-win situation for Sony and its developers. And
for us.
And for us, too. Yeah, but I mean, for them on a business standpoint, it would be stupid not to do this. Because, I mean, aside from spending the money to pretty much re-encode everything to high-def standards, everything else is just pure profit margin for the company. Because the games are already made. The hard stuff is done. So you got to know they made a lot of money off of God of War 3, and this is just going to be the same instance. I don't think this will sell as much as God of War will, because God of War is a bigger name.
They'll get their return on it.
They will get their return on this easily.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they basically just run it through like a really highly developed algorithm and, like, you know, high-def post processor. I mean, that's pretty much all they do, and then they just spit it out. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except for their CG cutscenes, but the great thing is, Ico and Shadow did not have any CG.
Yeah, everything was real time.
So it'll all look good.
Yeah. It'll be good because Eco never, it didn't really sell that well, you know, when it released. And there's that whole controversy because the box art sucked and blah, 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 whatever.
The box art was pretty atrocious.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, yeah, this will be good. And, you know, I own both games, but I'm still going to buy the collection anyway, remastered in full HD. It's like, why not?
Mm-hmm. Just don't throw it in your cardboard box.
Please. That's right.
That's probably where it's going to end up.
But she's like, I can't make any promises.
That's all right. Chris will keep it shrink wrapped next to Dead Space. I might open that.
You're actually sitting next to me. I could hit you.
I might open that bitch. Just open it.
Dude, I bought wet, kept it shrink wrapped, and then traded it in shrink wrapped.
Hey, Jeff.
Traded it in? Dude, you should have returned it. You can get more.
Yeah, dude. I should have brought it to Walmart, but I wasn't.
Yeah,
thing.
Jeff. But I had Super Smash Brothers Brawl for 2 years, still in the shrink wrap. I returned it to Walmart and got Darksiders.
Nice. That sucks. You got
well,
the worst
that's
game.
Nintendo, though. Dude, Nintendo first party shit does not go down in price.
I know. It was still $50 when I brought it back. It was great.
Oh, I brought it awesome. Back to Walmart. Be like, okay, here's your fucking coupon for a cereal. Wet was nice. Dropped like crazy.
I'm looking at my shrink wrapped Bioshock 2 Collector's Edition and God of War 3 Collector's Edition. Haven't opened any of them yet.
Wait, whoa, whoa. You have not played
God of War 3?
I have. Okay. So I have gaming ADD or whatever you want to call it. I'll start one game, get distracted by another one, by an interactive distraction, if you will.
So I
have the God of War collection. I have the first God of War, but I started playing God of War in the God of War collection, and then I started playing Dragon Age, but I had already paid off God of War 3 Collector's Edition, so I still haven't played 1, 2, or 3 yet, and it's a sad situation.
Oh, that hurts.
It's a very sad situation. Yeah.
You've caused us great pain. I just want you to know that.
Hey, at least it's not in the cardboard box. It's sitting on top of the cardboard box.
Almost better to take it, yeah, because that thing it comes in is pretty damn ugly.
you're better off leaving it in the cardboard box. Yeah. My Pandora's box is actually in the cardboard box sitting on one of my entertainment towers right now.
Oh, shit, it is.
Cool. Also, Natal, E3 is just around the corner.
Oh, get hype. Get hype.
We're all going to be there, except for Travis and I.
Wait a minute. Is it Natal or is it Wave?
Natal, sorry.
Huh? What?
Huh? What?
Doesn't Google have Wave trademarked already?
I don't know.
I think so.
All I know is it's supposed to be Wave now. I know it's not official.
They're changing
but...
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, it was never supposed to be Project Natal in the first place.
No, but I mean, that was dumb of them to go on fucking, was it Jimmy? No, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy
and
Fallon.
And then call it Natal. And then like.
Cause everybody watches Jimmy Fallon.
Well, I was gonna say, then you have 25 people it's called Natal. And then, you know, it's 25
I've
people.
I've seen, it was on a lot of morning radio, or morning shows like, America and crap. So, yeah. I don't know, it seems completely retarded. I mean, I mean, you remember back when, you know, there was the revolution and everybody was calling it that for like a year, but this is even worse.
That is true.
They never took the revolution on like talk shows and stuff.
No, they didn't bring it public. They brought it to people like gaming geeks like us who followed forums and media sites.
And E3.
Not to mention, I think Natal sounds better than Wave anyway.
Oh, yeah. It does. Because it sounds ridiculous. Natal. Yeah. Natal's Natal.
Well, Wave and Move, they just sound so... boring.
It was just dumb because it's so generic. Yeah. Hey, you're moving.
At least the Wii sounds completely retarded.
Yeah. Well, how many?
That's why you remember it. It sounds completely retarded.
It's Wii-tarded.
Oh.
Hey, Travis, I bet that joke has never been made before.
I just did that. I just did that.
Trademark that shit.
Well, the rumor is right now that Microsoft is just doing a $149.99 price tag on the console.
What?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just rumor. Just rumor. This is pre-3 crap, which sometimes, a lot of the times turns out to be true. But $149.99, which before that, Microsoft was saying that they were going to take out the internal processor to make it under 100.
That begs the question that if it's $149, did they put the internal processor back in? Because my biggest concern is like if they're going to price it at $149. And the internal processor is not there, and they're saying that it takes up an entire core of the main processor of the fucking machine. What developer is going to develop for this thing?
Dude, what developer is going to take the entire power of the 360 to make a game that works from the towel? Nobody.
Yeah, right, nobody.
No one even does that with a freaking Wii. It's not going to happen. No one's going to spend $25 million to make a big budget game that uses Natal as the preferred, like, control style.
Yeah,
it's not
the only ones are going to be like,
except for maybe like Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, exactly.
He's crazy.
Like a handful of first party. Like
I think the rumor of the bundle is it's going to be an arcade system, and it'll go for $300.
Yeah, $299, which I think is still a little bit steep, especially with no hard drive.
Yeah.
Well, at least you can use a USB drive, no?
That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
But I mean, I don't know. I think even if the processor's in or not, I think it's too expensive. I don't think.
Well, yeah, I mean, $150.
You're pricing yourself right at the Wii now, so now you're basically buying a system and the same price for a Wii.
Yeah, and now the Wii is actually being sold with Wii Motion Plus and Wii Sports Resort.
Exactly.
So now you're looking at a system for $50 more that comes with, whether or not you think it's better motion control or not, it's got the motion control plus two games in it.
Oh, it's $100 more. I mean, the Wii is now at $199. This would be $299. Yeah. So, I mean, it's $100 more.
Yep.
So, I don't think that.
Yeah. I was actually referring to the Natal by itself, but yeah, I see where you're going.
Oh, I thought you were talking about it. Okay, got it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying. I was reading a quote by some bigwig at Microsoft, and it sounds like their whole mindset is that the Natal is like the midlife kicker. I think that's what he called it, because how they're looking at it.
360.
Yeah, for the 360, because they're saying there's 40 million 360s out there, and this is the best way to experience new gaming experience. Without having to start all over, create a new system. So. Yeah. But it's like for $150. I mean, that's
They're trying to relaunch the system basically for $150.
And then
say what you will about the whole PlayStation Move and all that other bullshit. But when you talk about Move and the fact that they're going to have a starter kit that comes with a camera,
dude,
a controller,
that's still
and a
rumor
game
too, dude.
For $100.
That's the thing.
I understand, it's a rumor.
You're right now. You're taking your like MS hate right now and applying it to PlayStation.
No. It has nothing to do with that.
$150. Yes, it is, because you're taking one rumored price and comparing it to another rumored price and saying, this is what they're doing.
Both of them come out to be true, I mean, honestly, who gives a shit anyway? Because none of us are going to, care about
them. I'm not going to buy it.
They will buy it.
Huh?
But,
oh, yeah, I'm buying it.
I might buy it.
But in reality, I just, the price point just doesn't make much sense to me. If the price points turn out to be true, and the rumor of the $149 price point came from apparently the same source that gave them all kinds of Gears of War information. Apparently they've got like this trusted source.
Yeah.
If both price points come out to be true, I mean, that's a rough spot for Microsoft to be in.
So to play devil's advocate, you're saying for the PlayStation Move, you get a camera, a game, and one wand.
Right.
It's all as three cameras. It's supposed to be a pack-in game.
Two cameras.
And you don't need a controller. Two cameras, whatever.
Two cameras.
So, if you're looking at it straight from a like what you're getting concept, it's not really that far off. I think $100 for Move is a ripoff as well. Whether or not
I agree.
Is freaking atrocious. I think it's almost atrocious. I think they're both are gonna fall flat on their face personally.
They're coming out too early.
I think
based on what they've seen,
the next consoles, dude.
Yes, I agree. They should just wait until the next console generation.
Yeah, previews of what people have seen so far, are IGNs and 1UPs and everything.
Yeah,
what they've seen so far, they're like, it's buggy. It's buggy as shit. And now we're talking about it, doing a really big, here it is, everybody, at E3, and then releasing it, come
holiday.
Well,
it's a year later,
it's very, very early, way too early than what it should be. It's kind of like a modern day video game version of the space race. They're just trying to see if you can get there first.
Yeah.
I actually went hands on with the Move when they came to Seattle for, I can't remember. It was a while ago, but it was only maybe like 30 minutes. I was going hands on, but I mean, it seemed like it responded well, but in the back of my mind, all I'm thinking is all they were demoing were these little like mini games. It's like, let's shave heads and let's, I don't know. There's this one weird skateboard game where this girl's ass was in the air and like going down a hill. I don't even know.
Or something.
Yeah.
I mean, but it responded well and everything, but you just, I don't know. What are they going
to, yeah. that's why it doesn't bother me the fact they're taking out a processor, because no one's going to freaking put that money in to make a big ass, big budget game for either of these two things. So I don't think that's really an issue. I think it's too late.
It's not going to be a move. SOCOM is not going to be a move game.
No, it's going to have.
It's going to be. It's going to be both.
Air.
Yeah, okay. You can do either one.
Okay. Yeah, my controller.
Yeah, no, exactly.
My controller for SOCOM. Exactly.
I thought that when I was playing Mario Galaxy, it's like, man, I would love to be using the classic controller right now.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, overall, we're all in the same camp. We all think, you know, who gives a shit? But,
who gives a shit? Yeah.
But either way, the prices that are being rumored for both of these items are ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and the big problem is the hardcore gamers like us and everyone listening, people actually follow the industry. The waggle is kind of meh on them. There's of course a few people here or there that love it. Sure, that's fine, but they're going after the casual market. Yep. And if your casual market is you have to spend another $150 and then plus another system to get something that looks very similar to what you already have, it ain't going to work.
Nope. Right. Right.
If they have the Wii already, they're going to say, no, I have the Wii. I'm going to pass on that. If they don't have the Wii, they're going to look at the price and say, well, I'm going to get a Wii.
Well, if they have a Wii already, they probably bought it, played it once, and put it back on the shelf. So they're going to look at this and say, why do I want that?
Hello, mom and dad.
And these are half these people are the type of people who like have this big HDTV and they like still use a VHS player on it. They don't even know what HD is.
Oh, dude, funny tangent. Oh, I have to go on this just because it's hilarious. I just went to my parents' house like 2 weeks ago. My dad just bought a 60-inch LED TV.
Oh god,
fucking sick ass TV! I'm like, oh my god, that is awesome. He's like, oh, you gotta check this out, this Blu-ray, it's whatever, he bought Avatar. So you gotta check out Avatar, and he threw in his PS3, which I didn't miss him to buy, that it was the best Blu-ray player you can buy, so he ended up getting one. Throw it in, right away the menu comes up, I'm like, that's not an HD. He's like, what are you talking about? It's an HD TV and it's PS3. I'm like, that's not HD. Like, tell him about
it. What is it set to, like, 480p?
It was analog cables probably in, huh?
No, he bought a really cheap-ass HDMI that didn't actually do 1080p. It basically was like that. It was fucking garbage, and it was only projecting exactly in 480p. And I'm like, this is not HD. And then I'm like, basically, where are your component cables that I gave you when you got your PS3? And he brought them upstairs and like plugged everything in. I'm like, there we go, much better. But we got this huge argument.
There's your 1080i right there.
Yeah, I'm like, that is way better than what you had before. This is just ridiculous. But yeah, it was the same kind of shit. Like HDTV, VHS.
Yeah. I mean, they're not gonna know. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, like the Move and Natal are like, to me, the price isn't like unexpected. It's ridiculous, but it's not unexpected to me. I just don't think anybody's going to go for it. And, you know, if anything's going to succeed, it's going to be the Natal. Definitely not the Move, I think.
I think the Move's going to fall on its face. Natal is just because it doesn't have a controller. I think even though that might not be the best Move that punch. Oh. Yeah.
I see what you did there. Very nice.
But I mean, like, because people will pay attention to it, and they're doing the whole Surface Lay thing, which, as dumb as that sounds, that's going to make CNN, Fox News, and every fucking other thing. They go, oh, Surface Lay and MS are introducing this new thing. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be on Oprah and The View, and then it's going to
It's completely true.
Garbage. What else is in the news? That's a big hint to Chris, because I forgot.
Hey, didn't you have a prediction that came true?
Oh, that's right. Insomniac announced that, well, Ted Price specifically announced in their forums that they are actually going multi-platform. So they have a franchise or at least a game in the works that's going to be published by EA. So they are now an EA partner. I'm going to release a game on both 360 and PS3. But they are still going to be doing games exclusively for the PS3, which most likely are the Resistance franchise and Ratchet & Clank franchise.
Well, yeah, because Sony owns
the property.
Yeah. And of course, like when this news came out, all the fanboys were going no, and all the Xbox were saying yay. But yeah, guys, guess what? 360 is still not getting Infamous. All right,
Infamous is not that company, dude.
Oh, that's not that company?
No,
that's... Oh, that's, I thought that was the same. No, dude, that's like...
That's the guy who did Sly Fox, right?
Yeah. Oh, Sly Cooper. That's right. Sucker Punch. Okay, I'm editing that up.
You best ain't editing that out, dude.
No, I'm not going to edit that out. I'm human. I make
I was
going to
say, all the Xbox being like, dude, Resistance and Ratchet Clank suck, but the new game going to be awesome. And all the street vampires like, you know, Insomniac ain't even that good. Fuck
oh,
that
then
shit.
I'm not even Resistance? That. I'm not excited about it. I thought they had interest. I'm like, oh, what are they going to put out in the 360? No, fuck that. Okay. Who gives a shit?
Well, I'm glad for him. I don't really even care about
it's
it.
It's a good
obviously. But I, good move. I think you want. Yeah, it's a good move for everyone. I don't understand why any developers would sign on for, you know, to go exclusive. It doesn't really benefit them.
Yeah.
It limits their popularity, and then by half the gaming industry, they're hated because of fanboys.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
In fact, we should just move to one console because then fanboys would at least half disappear.
Then what's the fun in that, though?
What's the fun? Yeah, I know. Who doesn't want to sling tomatoes?
That's right.
So, yeah, they're multi-platform. So, you know what? Bungie went, Insomnia went. Everyone get over their spilled milk, and it's happening, whatever.
If only BioWare would just bring their games out to everyone.
No, Jeff,
wouldn't that be the greatest thing
you
ever?
You will see in about 3 weeks.
Didn't Dragon Age come out on PS3?
Yeah.
You're feeling pretty hard.
You can see it.
No. I'm sniffing.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask
Brittany and Bees here. Mass Effect. Can you see that going to PS3?
Well, I mean, it's a matter of time, I think.
Mass Effect Collection.
I don't know if they will, but I think BioWare will eventually.
I think they'll announce this year.
No, I do not.
No.
Oh,
totally so. Happening this year. Most if they time. Don't, if they don't do it this year, the boat has already sailed.
No, not. I'm not talking about Mass Effect. I'm talking about BioWare. I think they will eventually, you know, start making more stuff cross-platform, and you know, you can see it. It's just in the industry with Kojima and Final Fantasy. I mean, everybody's just moving to multi-platform because that's how you make money and that's how you stay afloat. So,
well, with the budget the games have right now, it's
kind of have to. Well, the reason we make this a big deal about the Mass Effect thing is because we have a bet going on. if BioWare does say okay, well, Mass Effect can go on PS3.
It's not up to BioWare; it's up to EA.
Well, okay, thank you. Yeah.
they will bring it over.
We have no idea what's going on with the contract, though. I mean, they might have a contract of exclusivity forever with Microsoft.
Exactly. Then Microsoft would have published it. They would have had this whole thing where they could have published it, and I'm thinking, well, EA still published Mass Effect 2.
Well, so I mean, you'll see. They could still have a deal, just even if it isn't published by Microsoft.
The rumor deal, though, that Chris, I think you remember this too, was that it was the first two Mass Effect games.
The first two Mass Effect games were on 360 only. That was what I heard.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, the bet is that any Mass Effect will be announced this year for PS3. It could be 3, it could be 4, it could be a spinoff.
Mass Effect Sigma.
As long as it's Mass Effect something.
Sigma.
What if it comes to the Wii?
Well, unfortunately, then we both lose, and then I guess we will hear a bunch of
mini game collection.
That's right.
Yeah. So the loser gives the winner a game, and then I have to sing Lady Gaga on the show.
Yeah,
so
you have
to
sing Lady Gaga if you lose as well.
I have to be here for that episode.
I'm having horrible visions of Waggle Effect.
It's
not good.
We're totally on a tangent right now and making this a lot longer than it should be.
All right, next news item.
Next news. Well, there's the Navy. Am I missing
something? There's Rock Band.
Oh, there's Rock Band. Rock Band.
Woohoo!
Ow!
It's going to be coming out.
Keyboards.
Yes.
And everybody said guitar. Yes. Chris, go nuts.
Well, the nobody. All right, we're going to hang up on Jeff. Hold on a second. So harmonies are going to be included in Rock Band 2. I almost said Mass Effect 3.
Harmonies? Well, they're already in the Beatles, correct?
In Rock Band 3, they're going to have. Yes. They're bringing harmonies from, like, the Beatles, and I think that Green Day has harmonies as well. But biggest thing was that it's possible that
Green Day has harmonies.
I have no idea. Who the fuck cares about Green Day anyway?
No, but I never did. I've always hated them.
Three.
Who cares about Rock Band 3? Actually, yeah, it, I do.
Give us,
as a,
give
as
us
a
downloadable cargo. Shit and then give us a friggin' firmware update to have us Hive Harmonies. Don't release a disc for $60.
No, I mean, they really don't need another one. I mean, it. I guess the only argument you could say that there should be a Guitar Hero or Rock Band 3 is for the keyboard thing. But no, I mean, yeah. It, Rock Band 2 is essentially the perfect music game if you think about it. So
yeah,
I agree.
And from what I understand, it is not necessarily going to be a keyboard peripheral, but I heard that it was actually a guitar.
I don't want a keytar. There's so many. Okay, what band out there that, you know, prominently uses a keytar? But how many of these rock bands? Okay, fuck the Bee Gees. How many really good bands use pianos? You can get some really good Doors tracks. What
are they going to give you? A small little portable piano?
I mean, fuck yeah. That would be awesome.
You
that
get a portable set of drums, it wouldn't be much harder.
There you go.
Much different.
The collector's edition, you have to have a fucking, like, ship to your house and a fucking...
No, dude, that would be awesome.
Dude, it really wouldn't be that much different than the drum set, man. Seriously.
Yeah. I just think that would be kick-ass. So. I really do.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. We actually are going to be able to check that out at E3 as well, so hopefully you guys can hear about that. Good stuff.
Yes. All right, cool. The Navy.
You want me to... Yeah, that's right.
That Navy. But
apparently they can do stuff. You sign up for the Navy, they're promoting Wii bundles and 360 bundles with Dance Revolution.
Do you want me to do this one, Jeff?
Yes, please.
Dance Revolution?
I don't know.
Apparently, Wii Fit and DDR might end up being DDR. In the Naval Boot Camp.
See, now I'm pretty sure I've seen the same billboard for, like, all the nursing homes in my area. They all have, like, oh, we're having, you know, Wii party every Friday night. Come bring your old people and play bingo. Yeah.
See, the funny thing is like, my best friend is, he's a former Marine, and I actually have a friend in the Coast Guard, too. And, you know, the Coast Guard is, you know, it's looked at as not necessarily one of the big four branches of the military. However... Their boot camp is tougher than the Navy. And from what I understand from, like, other people that I know in the military, it's like the people, like, the Navy is, like, the easiest boot camp to get through. So if you want to join the military, go into the Navy. And now
now
it's even easier. Now it's easier than kindergarten because you got Wii Fit and DDR.
Fucking hard, man. She got DDR and Wii Fit do that tree pose and yoga. I feel right there.
Chris, have you ever seen Kill 9, like Glenn do DDR?
Dude, I did.
He did DDR with him. You remember that video?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. He's insane.
He is insane. He is insane, dude. Yeah. He's ridiculous. I watched him. I'm like, I have no idea what you're doing.
He would. He should join the Navy because he'd be a great seaman.
That's right. Well, you know, guys, I heard that these games were actually going to be specially made. For the Navy?
Really?
They have a
cheer or something like that.
Especially made Wii's
No.
Wii's
it's
too,
it's
right?
like, instead of like,
camo?
As soon as you start it up, that's right.
The camo
they're gonna have
console.
A special camo Wii.
Well, if they're gonna get their own, special games, they gotta get their own camo Wii, right? Especially if they're gonna be out in the field, you know. You from atop, you're going
to
see that white thing.
When they go.
Yeah, that white thing is going to be visible from any drone. Drop bombs on you.
Well, from what I understand, when you actually start up the game, instead of like showing like the logos for the developers and the shit like that, it's going to come up with a big message that says, "Who gives a shit?"
Oh snap.
Just nice. The Navy.
I'm pretty sure nobody in the Navy cares
was
going to
bring the village
actually.
People into this bitch.
Not at all.
Oh man. All right, so that is your news. I think that's all we've got.
Yes.
So let's take a break. We've been talking for a while. So we'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about podcasting. And then we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. And we'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
All right, mic check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer, got my Doritos, check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm going to kill me some terrorists. Ain't never going to know what hit them. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You welcome back. Haha, I did it first.
You son of a bitch.
Damn, man. That's cold.
Cold-blooded.
You took just... Oh, man. Nice. There's going to be some...
Intercourse be some... with your mother.
With your mother's face.
Oh, well, that was... Yeah. That was foreplay, though.
Zing.
I was wondering why the break was about 30 minutes.
It was like a 20-minute...
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be 10. So much for that.
I had to have a 27-minute shower, so...
At least you got a 2-minute man.
She's a 3.
Yes, 3.
Oh, my God. This is... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, good times.
All right, so today we are not actually talking about sex with other people's mothers.
That's next week.
That's next week.
That's next week.
He's like, I'm out. Yes. Next week. So.
Tune in next week. Today we are talking about podcasting and, podcasts that, that people started, got into, listening and how people who like do podcasts, how some of those people got into podcasting and we're going to talk about that ourselves and we're going to find out, how the Noobketeers got started and stuff like that. So, I'm going to pass the show over to Travis and let him read a couple of emails.
All right. So our first email comes from Tom Mace of the Amplified Gamers here on VG Evo.
We know that guy.
We do. Do kind of.
I met the guy. He's cool.
There you go. So
he brought me for Buffalo Wings. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Cool. Well, I'll see him in a few weeks when I go up to Toronto.
Wings are awesome.
Meat.
Meat.
Generic.
That
sausage.
Very, very Tampax.
Very Tampax.
He says, hey, Indus and Noob. He says, hey, Indus and Noobketeers. So what got me into doing a podcast on video game music? I started listening to you guys during your one-year live show and was laughing my ass off with Jeff and his Batman mask and when the Indus Angels took over the show.
Wait, we had a hand in him starting?
Fuck. I guess.
I knew we should have done this.
Apparently we did that with the Goo too, and that's why that show is terrible. Terrible show. God. Anyway, Tom says, I haven't missed an episode since. Soon after, Sam and I both submitted entries into your 5-4 contest, yes, and we both lost. So, if you can't join them, make your own podcast. Sam was looking for a co-host for his music and video game podcast, and I'm a huge fan of video game soundtracks, and, well, the rest is history. We've been doing the show for over a year, and recording and chatting with... the guys is something I look forward to every other week. It's a fantastic time, and it's allowed me to meet some great people over the past couple of years. Podcasting is definitely one of my favorite hobbies. I do have a question for you guys, or a discussion topic. I don't know if people who don't record a podcast understand how much work can go into an episode. We've only recorded 42 eps, but we have our horror stories of a simple one-hour show taking about 6 hours to record because of crashes, errors, Skype, down power, you name it. Wondered if you guys had any funny/interesting horror stories to share from your experiences. It's such a nice feeling when you make it through an episode without any technical issues. When the issues arrive, they can leave you with some laughs. Hmm. Cheers, Tom, a.k.a. Mad Scientist 18 on VG Evo.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
I can think of kind of a horror story. I mean, honestly, I like some of the stuff that Tom is talking about. And, all joking aside, we love Tom. He's an awesome guy. And we've actually had both him and Sam on the podcast already, so I don't feel bad about them losing the 5-4 by them. But like we don't really suffer crashes a whole lot, or you know, Skype problems or and stuff like that. Most of the time, a 2-hour show will take us 4 hours just because we bullshit too much. And you know, the only real horror story that I can think of, Jeff, you might be able to think of some other ones, but I remember when we had an interview. And usually when we have guests on the show, usually when we have guests on the show, the people in Atlanta will get together and record together, like Travis and I are now, to make editing easier because he and I are now recording on one track. Well, I was over at Jason's place and we started recording this interview. We get like 10 minutes into it and Jason's internet just dies and it does not come back. So luckily, I mean, we can get in contact with Jeff and we send Jeff a message and ask him to let the person that we're interviewing know to call us. And he calls us and we're like, hey, we're sorry. You know, his internet just went down. It's not coming back up. We've done all the normal stuff like recycling the power on the router and the modem and stuff like that. So we're going to drive over to Chris's house real quick and we're going to hook up there and we're going to restart. Is that cool with you? And so this interview that was supposed to take an hour ended up taking close to 2 just because Jason's internet dropped and we had to transfer everything over to my house and record from my house. Yeah. So it was quite an ordeal, and that's probably like that's the worst thing that I can think of that we've gone through.
No, and the worst thing besides that same interview was when the guy announced something that wasn't going to be quite
true.
Announced
that's
yet.
Right.
Didn't really know what he's talking about, and kind of fucked up a bunch of other crap. So,
and needless to say, we're not exactly on good terms with that publisher.
No.
Oh, was that Twin Blades?
Oh.
Yeah. Was that Twin Blades? Yeah.
That was the part I thought you were leading to, but yeah, the technical shit definitely sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did.
Well, yeah. I know when it comes to technical issues, I always have one particular podcast that comes to mind. I'm pretty sure Britt can guess this. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I think so, but keep going.
Yeah. So episode 6 of the Noobketeers was pretty early on. I guess it was around, yeah, it was just before Christmas. It was about 2 weeks before Christmas. And our old co-host, Fozzie, had this great idea to do a drunken podcast because he's heard so many drunken podcasts before. He was like, oh, this would be fantastic.
I want to do that too.
See, but the problem was I could not make it and I was not present.
That's my thing. Sorry, go ahead.
So what ended up happening is Fozzie hosted it and he thought it would be a great idea to, what was it called? The Power Hour. And every time the song changed, you had to take a shot, but he didn't know how to play. Well, he didn't play the song like through his headphones and then inserted it later into the podcast. He just unplugged his headphones, so it came through the speakers. And then about two of them,
oh, no.
And normally we only have like 3 people, and there were 5 people in this episode, and only two of them wore headphones. And then one of them had music going in the background, and one of the other guys had a chuggy computer, so his track was about 40 seconds shorter than all the others.
Wow.
And I had to edit it all. And oh my God, dude, it took me at least 20 to 24 man hours it took me 2 weeks to put that thing together.
End result was gorgeous though, man.
Yeah, go back and listen to it. I had to like go and erase like one track. I would have to listen to one track all the way through. And then anywhere where that one person was not talking, I had to erase all of it because you could just hear the music in the background and it would reverb. Oh my God. Oh, it was.
Bees,
total.
I feel your pain, dude. I really do.
So, it wasn't our first episode. Didn't we record like an hour or something and then we lost all of it or something weird?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the first 10 episodes, there were problems with, you know, technical problems. But
we've lost a few podcasts too.
Yeah. But we haven't lost any podcasts in forever. I mean, it's not a problem now, but that one podcast, man, I regret not being there to keep the ducks in a row.
In check. So, yeah. We're just drunken idiots. We don't know what we're doing. It's good times.
Yeah. I could tell you editing stories, but that's entirely different.
Boring.
And it's probably boring.
It is boring. But
I have, you know, I've had episodes where audio just did not line up at all. And you spend hours and hours just adding silence so that things match up.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a podcast that lasted, I mean, the podcast was 2 hours long and it took me 16 hours to edit. Yeah, I've had those days.
Yeah. There's also a time where really Britt's Audacity crashed after it finished, and she didn't export it. So all we had were 400 little 10-second raw files, and I had to splice them all together.
Holy crap.
My bad.
Take a 1 hour.
My B.
How 400 10-second? Where? What happened with that? How'd that happen?
Well, that's how Audacity records the raw files, is in like this weird format that's like 10 seconds at a time. So I had
if you don't save the final project, it saves in a bajillion different little pieces. It's somewhere randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to splice together. It took forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny too, because last week when we did the interview with Mark, the first part of the podcast, and I actually put this in like the editor's note at the in the show notes. Jeff's Audacity crashed, and thank God for the backup program that we used, because we were able to just use that and deal with, and it still sounded pretty good.
Jeez.
Ugh. Yeah, and you know, we're talking kind of technical, and I can definitely tell that, you know, a lot of this jargon is kind of going to go over people's heads, but it's going directly back into what Tom was saying. You know, some people don't know, you know, what goes into maybe an hour and a half, 2 hour podcast.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on and everything. I mean, maybe if Chris never even mentions it in the beginning of the show that, hey, there were some technical issues we had, people probably wouldn't even notice, but, you know, we noticed because of the fact that we had to go through it and it was there for us.
Right.
So
a 2 hour podcast from us is normal circumstances.
Yeah.
It's probably anywhere between 3 and 3.5 hours of recording, and then mm-hmm. mix that with anywhere between 3 and 5 hours of editing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a normal, you know, a normal
and
podcast.
And not including like getting the news stories, getting the mail, it's or whatever together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I've streamlined, the process down where it only takes about an hour and a half of editing, as long as everything's gone smoothly and there's like no glitches or anything. But so now it's not too much of a big deal.
Hour and a half of editing sounds awesome.
Well, I mean, think about it. They have a show that lasts a little over an hour. They have one part.
Yeah.
And it takes us, if everything goes right, it takes us 3 hours, and we have two parts that are basically two of their podcasts. So it's about the same.
Yeah. It only takes you 3 hours.
I've had somewhere it takes me 3 hours. Yeah.
It really wouldn't take me that long to do a longer podcast, because I don't really do anything except skip to sections, and then just splice them up, put music in, and then that's it. I rarely take stuff out.
I really enjoy the adding in effects and music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that's fun. Like, there's a lot of tedious things, like making the tracks add up, but like adding music, it's like, oh, okay, this is fun. I've done this every week, but man, this is fun doing it. I know that I can really enjoy it. Like, whenever I'm like slogging through it and it's taking me forever, I'm like, okay, if I just finish this, I can go into adding the music and everything's going to be all right.
Exactly.
Like, and it's fun. Because right
that's
then,
it, that's exactly
thing,
my goal when I do it as well.
let me add the music. And you do, and for your show, you do different music tracks every week.
Yeah.
Right. So you just find different things. So that's really cool.
For me, that was half of my idea, is to not just talk about games, but then also highlight different music and try to supply the track list. So that way people know what kind of cool remixes are out there. Like, sometimes there'll be jazz and orchestral and all kinds of cool stuff.
The best one was the Spanish Pac-Man song.
Yeah, but it was actually Colombian. Yeah.
Oh. Now awesome. Look at me looking all ignorant.
Yeah. Well, there's actually, I've just in the brand new episode, the second to last song is actually, it's the main theme from Super Mario 64. And it's done by a string quartet or something, I think, from the University of Toronto, actually.
Nice.
Huh.
Yeah. You have a lot of remixed like 8-bit chip tunes as well that you put in there a lot. Sure. And I like that. I love that stuff. We actually have at Indus Fest last year, we had a 8-bit Wonder. He's a DJ who mixes nothing but chip tunes
and
rock the house. So we love that kind of stuff. That's really up our alley and everything. But yeah, Tom had a really great point. Like, there's so much stuff that gets into it. But as a hobby, even if it's just a hobby, like, you know, we're not IGN. We're not Joystick. We don't get paid to do stuff like this. This is just something that's really, really fun. And we just love video games so much. We just love to talk about it and just broadcast it out. And whoever wants to listen, we hope it entertains them.
And if you don't want to listen, fuck you.
I also just like being the go-to guy when my friends want to know about games. Anybody around fun. They're like, oh, hey, what's good? What should I buy?
Well, sometimes like my parents will call me. Like my dad will call me up and say, hey, man, look, I just bought a PlayStation 3. What should I get? What would I like? And I like stuff like that. That's fun.
Yeah, I know. That's really fun. It is totally fun.
So, all right. So you move on to another email, guys. How about it?
Absolutely.
Go for it.
All right. This comes from Jacob Frank, also known as BB Media on VG Evo. He says, hey, Indus crew and noobs, how did you find your co-hosts? Were you friends before, or did you meet in an online community similar to VG Evo? Sincerely, Jake.
Yeah, pretty much the latter.
He stalked me, kind of. I looked out my window and things. Fucking lurking in some bushes.
Who's that guy in the bush?
Who's the gamer girl? I'm going to follow her.
Prestige night vision goggles from Modern Warfare.
Prestige.
I can't quite see where I'm going, but I can see in the dark. Awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, we hail from the IGN blogs community. And, you know, there's a lot of great people out there. And there's, what, like 4 or 5 podcasts from there alone. So
right.
They've kind of all been inspired by the IGN podcast. So, I mean, we're a very podcast-centric community. And
I'd say we met about a year. It's been about a year.
No, I mean.
About June, July, August, September, October.
Yeah, I think you came in around March or April. And then we probably started talking about this, Britt, Foz, and I, when like I guess it was near the end of summer. We started hinting at it. And then I guess around November, we kind of said, let's do this.
And so, we did it.
And we did it. Thanks to Vagary.tv.
That's a great story. We said, let's do this. And we did it.
Great story,
bro. That's pretty
bro.
Much I
great story, bro. Classic.
That's what we call the Cliff Notes.
Foz were starting it, and then they were like, well, we need a tech guy who can
we need someone to edit the show.
We need someone.
So we used bees. We just threw them in there.
Pretty much, yeah. And then they decided I was the best, so they made me the host, too.
Oh,
so.
Whatever. Anyway. What about you guys?
All right. Well, I think I should do this one, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Go for it, dude.
So the show actually started with me and Jeff and Jason, right? And me and Jason know each other personally. We actually met through a different online community that he and I helped create.
Pocket Otaku?
Called PocketOtaku.com.
Can you give like a time frame for this? Like, was this 2007, 2008?
This was, shit, it's
1984, actually.
1984. I think it was around 2005, 2006 time frame. This is when I actually met him. And, you know, he ended up moving down to Georgia. And he...
They went down to Georgia.
Get on down to Georgia. And he needed, you know, he needed a job. So I referenced my I referenced him to my boss, and they ended up hiring him on at my company. So we got to talking a lot more after that happened, and you know, I mentioned to him, hey, you know, are you interested in doing a gaming podcast? Because I know that we're both really huge into gaming. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I really like the dynamic of three people. And I know someone who might work out really well. And it was Jeff, who I knew from Gamers Liberation Front. And before that, the 1UP boards. Basically the way it worked is the reason that I liked Jeff for the third spot was because.
You played devil's advocate with everybody.
Yeah, and that's exactly damn, it. Right.
No, I didn't play devil's advocate. I just fucking spoke what I thought. Yeah. And Chris is one of the only people who took it as there could be such thing as a different opinion.
Right. And
it couldn't be just like a fucking one-way 360, one-way PS3 side. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, and, it wasn't and, even and him and I would have these back and forth conversations about, you know, how things would work and we always were very respectful for each other and on an internet gaming forum, that's so fucking rare.
Oh, yeah.
Know, that, you know, it made me think that he would be a perfect third for the show. And it turns out that I was right. So we did like a test episode and it went really well. And
the mute button was on for the first half of that.
But so it just worked out really well. I mean, the chemistry was really good, and we pretty much clicked with each other for a while. We did probably how many episodes did we do with Jason? It was probably like 102, something like that, maybe more. And Jason announced that he wanted to focus on video stuff. And that's where Travis came in. And Travis actually, you actually found us a different way. How did you find us?
I found you guys the same way pretty much everybody finds VG Evo. I got me an MP3 player, got me an iPod Touch. So I was like, okay, well, my buddy, John Munch,
John Munch.
That's John awesome. Munch, that's an awesome name. Actually, his middle name, Christ, spelled Christ.
It's nice.
Christ? Yeah, Christ.
Christ
yeah.
Munch.
Yeah.
John anyway, Christ Munch.
But anyway, yeah. Hey, John.
Sounds like a cereal.
I'm sure he's listening. Hey, buddy. But anyway, he visited down for my wedding, and he had mentioned this podcast thing. I'm like, well, what's that? I listen to it while I'm at work. It's great. It's pretty much radio programs via the internet. You can pretty much find any topic you want. Well, like, I'd love to listen, you know, and hear about video games. So I started looking it up. And at the time, I had a, you know, Xbox and a PlayStation 3. So I looked for Xbox podcasts and PS3 podcasts. And of course, I found this little ditty called the PS Nation. Which is NRVG Evo Network. While I was listening to the PS Nation, I hear them mentioning VGEVO.com all the time. I'm like, okay, well, let me try this place out. So I went on there, signed up, and while I'm signing up talking to everybody, everybody's like, okay, we'll check out the other podcasts. We got, The Goo. We have, you know, these other ones. We have Endus. Listen to Endus. You love these guys. And so I checked them out, and I mean, I listened. My first episode was their, it wasn't the 1 year. It was the 1 year episode. It was my very first episode. The 1 year episode. I think Tom brought it up earlier, where they were all on via video, and then the girls, the Endus Angels, they all
the live show.
The live show. That was my first.
That was like the worst show to tune in.
That was my first. But
a fucking disaster. Yeah.
It was a clusterfuck.
Yeah, man. And I listened, but I liked it because it was just kind of real.
It was very raw.
It was just kind of real, sure. And I liked the discussion that was to be had, and it was really cool. And then from that episode on, I listened to nonstop, and eventually started writing in. And when Street Fighter kind of really started to take effect, the first day I met y'all was Street Fight Club, right?
Yeah, Street Fight Club.
At Jason's house, they had a Street Fight hangout, and Jason invited me over, and I met them, Jason and Chris, for the first time there. And we started hanging out on and off then. And then it got to the point where on and off turned into all the time. And then Jason made the announcement that, well, within Endus Fest, I tried to help out a lot, as much as I can for Endus Fest. And
yeah, Travis, for Endus Fest the last year, Travis was actually kind of our tech guy. He ran the soundboard and stuff like that. So that was a huge help.
Yeah, and then Jason announced that he was going to step down for the audio portion, and the guys had I auditioned for my spot. It wasn't like I didn't pick me.
He auditioned without knowing, though.
Yeah.
We basically said,
hey, you know,
had
Jason,
a few people mark down like who we wanted to do it, whatever, and then we had people come on the show, and then, yeah, basically it was like, all right. It was almost a hands down thing, like Travis for sure.
Yeah, the chemistry was good, and he also is here in Atlanta, which is a big plus as well. So
that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still trying to get Jeff down here.
Hey.
But that's pretty much it, and here we are. Nice. Somehow, I have no idea. 131 episodes later,
why he's still here.
I have no idea.
It's that sweet ass they like.
That's right. So, cool. Well, thank you. That was from who?
That's from Jacob Frank, a.k.a. BB Media on VG Evo.
Cool. All right. Yeah, he's pretty new to writing in, right? He just started writing in a couple
of
years.
I think that was his first, actually, no?
I think that was his first.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Popped his chair.
Hey.
Perfect.
Oh,
timing.
Jeff, keep drinking, buddy.
I will.
You're drinking wine tonight, right? You've been hitting the wine.
Not anymore. I moved on to beer.
Oh, good. Hi. Good man. Good man. Okay, so the next one, I'm not even going to read his real name because I'm going to fuck it up. So I'll go ahead with his online name, Mr. Goose.
Ooh. Oh, we haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah. Mr. Goose 5426 on PSN and Xbox Live. He says, "Hey, Indus crew, long time no email. Well, on top of the question of the week, I first started listening to podcasts when I was really bored at home a couple of years ago, and I decided to type in PlayStation into iTunes, thus discovering PlayStation Nation while I listened to the PS Nation." They kept mentioning this website called VG Evo. Woo!
Sounds like a really familiar story.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? That's funny. And honestly, I've never read this email yet. This is all raw. I then ventured into the website and found the podcasting network and found you guys. And since then, my iPod now has been actually used regularly. P.S. I know this is random. Okay, I'm not going to answer that in this one. This is from Mr. Goose, sent from his iPod.
What? He has another question?
No, it was something that it's about Facebook, not supposed to be read on the show. Thanks for making me explain. Take my word for it, bitch.
I will.
Well, thank you.
So, what's
Mr. Goose?
PlayStation Nation thing? I mean, I've never heard of that.
it's
PlayStation Nation is kind of the anchor. It's the anchor podcast on VG Evo. They actually joined up with Joystick and PS Fanboy for a while. So they got a ton of listeners from that, and they get a lot of industry guests and stuff like that. It started out being Glenn Percival and Jared something or rather. And then Jared left and they got Mark Singer on.
They're basically a podcast, but basically only Sony products.
Right. It's
they're pretty established, though. I mean, they've been established for a long time.
Mm-hmm. They are a very established podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But
free shout out to them.
Yeah, there you go.
They really need it.
Yeah, they don't really need it. Most of the people that listen to our podcast probably already listen to PS Nation. So.
Really? I'm going to offend them. PS Nation sucks balls.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, bees, can you say the goose sucks?
I can say that, but it's going to cost you.
No. Come on, dude. Give it to me.
It's going
to
cost you a copy of Red Dead.
Don't be such a pussy. Goose sucks.
Goose sucks. Yeah. That is it. That is an official endorsement from Vagary.tv and the New Frontiers. The goose sucks.
I can put that in the new header. Like, I can put that in as the tagline for our next podcast.
Oh, no. Don't put it in the header. That's just a personal feud.
Don't want to be dragged into that, bad boy.
You can make it the intro. You can just have it, Brent and I, saying, "Goose sucks."
You know, I'm actually surprised that Scott hasn't mentioned that in the salutamentaries that he always sends us.
Yeah, I know. He's keeping it quiet, but he knows it eats him alive. He wakes up in the middle of the night.
And I haven't heard him say Indus sucks on his podcast yet.
Oh, he will, because I'm not going to stop.
Well, I'm going to
think of it, Brent and I. We should start saying Game Over sucks.
Do it. Do it.
Like, Game Over sucks.
Yeah, but Game Over really does suck.
Snap.
I withhold judgment.
You just opened a can of worms.
Well, a lot of people know how.
That's good.
How we got started, and we kind of just explained a lot of it. So, why don't you guys tell us, like, what made you guys really decide to want to do a podcast?
You asked me. It's like, no, like, I listened to you. It was the same thing as, I think it was Beesball saying, like, you were bored at work. Was it one of the. Who said they were bored at work? And that was when it was our last email said they're bored at work and they found some like podcasts, whatever. That's exactly what I did. I was bored at work one day. I think I went to 1UP and I saw one of the links was podcasting. What the hell a podcast was. So I clicked on it and started listening. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Yeah. Whatever. And then went from 1UP yours to, I think it was on the spot where the one GameSpot was.
Yeah.
Hotspot.
I still like that show.
Yeah. Hotspot. I don't listen to them and I have not even paid attention to GameSpot since all the good people left, but are they still good?
Yeah, they still got like Brendan Sinclair and everything. They still have a pretty solid crew. I really like them, yeah.
Yeah, well, I haven't listened to them since like pretty much Jeff Gerstmann and all those guys left.
Yeah,
like,
I do, yeah. I agree.
But yeah, them and like the IGN podcast, and I was like, this is pretty cool. And then one kind of scoop. Then attempted to make one other podcast with another couple guys from GLF, which totally fell flat on the face and went nowhere. And then Chris.
Well, one of the guys didn't even show up, right?
No, he showed up once the first day when we actually recorded a show for an hour and a half, and then realized the guy got the beta program for whatever it was that was doing the recording. Yeah, recorded like the first like 20 minutes, and that was it. Like, this is crap. Then Chris got in contact with me like probably like a month later or something like that, a month and a half later.
Yeah, it was interesting timing.
And a lot of my friends don't understand it. They look at me like I'm on crack.
Like, you don't get paid for this?
And you don't get, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't get paid. You're sitting there talking about video games. I'm like, yeah, it's a Thursday, dude. Yeah. It's not a Friday or Saturday. It's a Thursday. What are you doing Thursday? Are you watching Lost? How's Lost going for you? How was that really shitty fucking finale? Was I doing right for
God. We're going to fist fight. I'm going to pummel you. People think this is like...
No spooning for you, Jeff. No,
people think my hatred. People think my hatred for Jeff and his Canadianness like is like fake. No, I'm going to beat you when I go there. I'm going to throw you in the Niagara Falls. How about that? You're going in the falls.
All right. Cool. That'd be kind of fun.
Just make sure he's in a barrel.
Yeah.
That's right.
Abracadabra, bitches.
Crazy.
Noobs, what got you guys started? What podcast did you listen to that inspired you guys to do a podcast?
Well, my podcasting story goes way back before podcasts even existed. I've really kind of been like an IGN loyalist ever since like basically 1998. And I've been going there basically since it started. And, you know, it was just like my go-to site for, you know, cheats and crap like that, gamesages.com.
Gamesages, what?
Yeah, that's right here.
Do you know you can still type in gamesages and it'll redirect you to IGN?
Yeah, it'll redirect you to cheats.ign.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. You know, I just kept track of the site, I mean, for all this time. And then back in like 2006, they started Scoop. And I've been listening to Scoop ever since day one. And so I basically listened to all the gaming IGN podcasts. I listened to some of the other peripheral ones like movies and crap, but then I realized their movies podcast was absolutely horrible. Because basically all they did was talk about like comic books, comic book movies for an hour at a time. But I do highly recommend their DVD podcast, which is completely separate from IGN. It's just two old critics from LA that somehow they like farmed out, but they're the best critics ever. It's called the IGN Digigods. I've plugged it many times, but I highly, highly recommend that as a non-gaming podcast. So, you know, I've just kind of branched out from there. You know, I listened to most of the Vagary.tv podcast just because, you know, I'm obligated to. And,
no, it's because they're nice. Good podcasts, you ass hat.
It's not because they're good podcasts, right? It's just because you're obligated to.
that's what I tell them.
Yeah. Ringing endorsement.
Anyway, so, I mean, I've kind of branched out and I just...
Well done, Bees. Well done.
And, you know, it's kind of just all branched out from that, like I was saying. As for like my favorite, it would probably still be Scoop. It went through a little bit of a lull after about like episode 60 through about 100, but then it kind of picked back up again. So, actually, if anybody feels like going back and if they're a Scoop fan, on episode 30, I am an official Game Scoop super fan, and I made the Holy Balls song.
Sweet. Oh, is that you
the
who did
Holy
that?
Balls song?
Yep.
Dude, that was back when, what's his name? The guy who left IGN, he was like the 360, he was the Xbox.
Roper? No. Roper.
He was the guy who said Scoop all the time, basically made it catch on. But then
you're talking about Micah?
Micah went over to Three Red Lights for a while. And
I think I know who you're talking about, yeah.
What the hell is his name?
I know David Adams started Scoop, but he left pretty early on.
No, he didn't start Scoop. He was basically the head of the Xbox channel, but he was on Scoop all the time.
You're talking about Hillary?
Not Hillary, no.
But Hillary was the head of the Xbox channel back then, but now we're just talking semantics. And
like, yeah, I'm trying to think of the I'm going to look this up.
Google.
Yeah,
anyway, go back to episode 30 of Scoop and listen to the last song. That was me. So
yes.
That's my claim to fame. Hey.
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 With me, I live in Seattle, but I work 60 miles south of there.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Yeah.
So this is to morning radio shows every day.
Yeah. So I just moved up to Seattle about a year ago. So before that, like these, I've been going to IGN for, I can't even remember how long, forever. So finally, I was like, oh, I can finally, you know, start listening to podcasts now. So at the time, and this was probably an, oh, I don't know, whatever. I was just kind of like a Nintendo fangirl. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, but I was. So I just listened to the Nintendo voice chat for several months, and then I started listening to Scoop and Beyond, and then Three Red Lights.
Beyond!
Beyond! So it's pretty much it. I just mostly listen to IGN podcasts. Sometimes I listen to the Game Informer show or Destructoid's podcast. But,
okay, cool.
Yep.
Travis, you want to tell us how you got involved in all this shit?
Well, basically, it started with a story that, you know, I told you guys about how I discovered you, or us, I guess.
What was the first podcast you ever listened to?
It wasn't PS Nation. It was actually the IGN podcast. It was Beyond, I think it was.
Beyond?
I think it was Beyond.
You remember which episode?
Oof, I don't remember.
Well, how about a range? Like 30, 40, 50?
I recently stopped listening to them because I have when I started listening to podcasts, I went podcast crazy. So like I had like maybe 11 or 12 subscribed podcasts. I was going nuts.
Then
I
branched 12. That's it.
Well, I mean, like for me, that was a lot. For going from none to something. Some of my favorites were, you know, I listened to, you know, Indus. I listened to PS Nation for a little bit. You know, all the VG Evos because I was obligated to.
Obligated to?
No. I listened to them because I wanted to. And then I kind of wanted to branch out. I already listened to the IGN, so I was like, okay, what should I go out and look for? Then I found GameSpot, the hotspot, which I do love that show. Like, just, I think the guys have a lot of good things to say. I think they're great writers. So I really, really enjoyed listening to them because if you're a great writer, usually you speak pretty well. What else do I listen to? There's been a couple of misses here and there as well, but when it came down to it, I really, really love these guys. My number one favorite podcast right now of all time is definitely the Joystick Podcast.
I haven't listened to that one.
Love the Joystick Podcast. Justin McElroy for life. Boop.
Giant Bomb.
He's my hero.
See,
yeah, I am a big fan of Giant Bomb too, man.
Giant Bomb is really good. I really like the Giant Bomb cast. I love Dan Shu.
Dan Shu's awesome in like everything.
I love him. I love him. Can I mention one up real quick though? Because Jeff, you kind of brought it up, and I didn't want to interrupt you then, but I'll say it now. I really miss the old school one up podcast.
If you missed the old one, dude, have you listened to
Weekend Confirmed?
Yes, Weekend Confirmed.
I do like it, but I miss the last episode was great because they got John Davison back. Yeah. They got but just for one episode. If they could keep,
but
him,
they pretty much like, have someone on pretty much every week, and they still have the same format. And Jeff Cannata knows a shit too. And
I like Jeff Cannata a lot. Weekend Confirmed is great. I do like it.
I actually haven't even listened to that one
it's
yet.
It's really good. Good information. The guys know their shit. They know what they're talking about. They're not going to fuck up and think the recent deal includes Infamous or no bullshit like that. They're not going to fuck up like that. They know their shit. So those are but number one for me, Joystick Podcast. And I will add this, guys, if you want something that's not a gaming podcast, it's just kind of on the side. It's just a really, really, it's just good entertainment. It's a really quick podcast. It's like 40 minutes a week. It comes out every Monday. It's called My Brother, and Me. It's the best part of Joystick Podcast, Justin McElroy and his two brothers, and it's an advice show. And not only do they give advice,
from emails that they receive, they fuck with the people and just make fun of them. And it's great. it's brilliant. But the guy, I got my wife listening to it, and she's addicted to the McElroys. Like, just listen to it, guys. Try it out once. If you don't like it, stop listening to it. But if you do like it, keep on listening. You're going to love it. It's called My Brother and Me. Check it. And that's it. Yeah.
Bam.
Well, for me, I know, like, the best thing about podcasts is like the personalities that you get to know. I mean, it's not about like the news, because they all start talking and overlapping the same news.
Right.
So to me, it's not even about that. It's just about finding something that's entertaining to you to listen to for an hour or two at a time once a week. So
Yeah, especially since we've been listening to the IGN podcast for a while, when we actually met up with Greg and Damon at PAX East.
Oh, yeah. That was a blast. I mean, and what's crazy is
Greg Miller?
Yeah,
Greg Miller and them.
Oh, sweet.
And what's awesome is, you know, they totally knew us and we knew them, and they almost treated us like royalty the whole week. It was the weekend. It was really awesome.
Cool, yeah.
And we just got like the VIP treatment the whole time and unlimited drink tickets.
Nice.
That was awesome.
And that's from being like so involved in the community, right? Like the
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, they've even guested on a couple, on the Game Over podcast a couple times, and we can get them on our podcast. We haven't actively tried, but we could get Greg Miller on there if we wanted. So we should probably do that.
Do that. And if you ever want another guest, I would love to join that podcast with you guys.
Yeah. I know what's great about podcasts like early on, though, was it took down on my time reading, because I knew that anything that was worthy of talking about in video game news was going to be talked about on the podcast. So it almost superseded like the need to actually read any websites, because anything you cared about that was important was going to be talked about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still check those websites every day.
No, I totally do too. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if I went a week where I couldn't really, I didn't have the time to scan all the websites, I didn't feel like I was missing too much if I just listened to a podcast or two. So.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I pretty much got it started with, the One Up Show, which was a video show. And it was just awesome. I loved watching it every week. It was, well produced, and you know, they gave really good opinions on the games and stuff like that, and that's what really got me started. And after that, I went to like One Up Yours, and that's kind of the first podcast I listened to that had no video to it. And then at the time, I was part of the One Up community that Jeff was also a part of back in the day, before they went completely to shit. And the next podcast that I actually found was PS Nation, and it was Torgo was posting the link for it, and that got me over to VG Evo, and that kind of branched me out into different podcasts and expanded my view of like just what I was looking for in a podcast, and it really got me into it, because I was always into gaming, but it wasn't something that I actively talked about, because in all honesty, none of my friends that I know personally that I've known from like school and work and stuff like that, none of them play games. It's like all the friends that I have that are gamers are that I know from, I met them online, basically.
Yep. And I'm in the same boat you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way it is for most people, is like they have like one, maybe two like gamers who can actually keep up with the lingo and when they're talking about stuff. And then like, everybody else just like plays Halo on the weekends.
Right. So. Yeah. And right. A lot of, I mean, like most of my friends, they like, it's like, oh, I have a PS2 and I have like three games. It's like, oh, okay. I've got like 300. It's, you know, it's a totally different scenario. But, you know, so that's what really got me going into the podcasting thing. And that, and, you know, then once I started working with Jason, that's what really started sparking the thought of actually doing one.
Right.
And now, you know, 2.5 years later, I still love doing it. You know, it's something that I enjoy. I look forward to every week. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've learned more over the 2.5 years, the past 2.5 years than I even thought I could. So mm-hmm. it's been It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great learning experience too.
Well, thank you, Chris. I love you too, buddy.
There's a lot of warm fuzzies going around. I can feel them.
I know. Tell me about
love. A lot of love going in here.
But yeah, that's all I had to say. So, do you guys have anything you want to add before we move on and try and wrap the show up?
I did have one more thing about why I listen to podcasts. I was mentioning about the news early on, but the reason I wanted to keep my thumb so much on the news and kind of know what was going on in the industry is because that was the time in my life where I was like in college and I had no money to spend anything on. And I didn't want to feel like I was out of the video game industry. So I could almost like live through all those games and know exactly what's in this game and this game and this game without ever having to play with them. So I could still talk about it with other people and not get lost.
Right.
So
right.
It's if you're really poor or you don't have money to buy video games, you can kind of fake your way through it and kind of live them out through podcasts. So
and another thing that I want to add is that one of the good things about like listening to podcasts that I found was that as I'm listening to them, I'm learning more about these personas, that are doing these shows. And when they're talking about the games that they're playing and how they, how they feel about them and that kind of thing, it kind of made me feel a little bit like I knew what kind of gamer they were and I could relate myself better to them. Like I could say, okay, well, obviously this person games kind of like I do. I mean, they feel the same way. So that actually drew me more towards like reviews they would do on their websites or something like that. So,
right.
It's kind of ironic because we've had him on the show a couple of times, but one of the people that I like followed a lot when I was on the 1UP forums was Shane Bettenhausen, because he and I had a kind of a similar taste in some games, we were both like very big on PSO and action RPGs and that kind of thing. And so it made me pay attention to the reviews that he wrote a little bit more. Because I would say, oh, well, I don't know anything about this game. Shane talked about it. Let me see what he thinks, and it kind of makes, it can save you some money because they might say something shitty about the game and you just don't buy it. So,
yeah, I completely agree. Cause like, I was talking about the IGN DigiGods earlier and, about how, they were really good critics. Like to me, you got to find the one or two critics that you can always rely on to have a very similar opinion to yours. And that's kind of what I latched on with those two guys. They had a much more, their view jived with mine when it came to what movies I like to watch. And, cause I'm not like big on, I'm kind of like with movies like I am with my music. I'm not big on like the pop stuff. So it's good to find that one or two people. You can't just listen to Ebert and trust everything he says, because he's all over the board.
Wow.
And he's never got a consistent opinion. And
video games aren't art.
And games will never be art.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everybody says that. You can kick him in the jaw, but it wouldn't be there.
Ooh, too soon. Okay, kick him there anyway.
Anyway, just I recommend finding a podcast that really jives with your opinion.
Yeah, find someone that works for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a billion podcasts out there on video games and any other subject.
Right. So
that's cool. All I've got to say.
Word.
Awesome. All right. Cool. So let's move on to some new releases, shall we?
Why not?
We shall.
Okay.
I have a voicemail from Mr. Repeat. Shall we listen to that real quick?
Big Pete?
We should.
Pistol Pete.
So, Peach the next Dragon. Link, there's not a whole lot. For DSi, where it looks like we're getting Xscape, which is a sequel to a very old Japanese-only Game Boy game, this original brick Game Boy called
Never
X.
Heard of it.
Now, this has got some loose ties to Star Fox. I guess you could probably consider it as a spiritual precursor to that. It's also being made by Q Games, so it should probably be fairly good. And on the consoles, it looks like we're getting Alpha Protocol for PS3 and 360, which is a spy-based RPG. And that's all I really know about it. Looks kind of interesting, might be worth checking out. And that's more or less it.
Yeah, so
where
I had no idea Alpha...
He's from Australia.
He's from Australia.
Please.
I do a really bad Australian.
I did not hear one thing he just said. I just heard accent.
Oh, right. I heard the thing spiritual
keep
prequel,
talking.
And I was like,
"Is that one?" She went to like a dream world. She's like,
"I did."
Well, it might entice you to actually come to know that he is apparently coming to Indusfest.
Oh snap!
Yeah, he's flying in from Australia.
That's kind of
going international, baby.
That's right. He's flying in from Australia for Indusfest, and he's going to do releases live.
So he was talking about Eggscape, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't heard of you either.
Me neither.
Well, yeah. He mentioned Alpha Protocol. I didn't even know that was coming out next week until I saw the list. But that's pretty cool. I mean, that's I'm actually very interested in that game.
I just found it funny that he used the term spiritual prequel. It's like, how does that work?
Don't get us started on spiritual thing.
Because we're gonna be here like we did an entire
feature on like spiritual successors, and it was a train wreck. It was horrible.
All right, I'll leave it.
All right, filling in the gaps. I guess Backbreaker didn't come out last week because it's on the list for this week. And
I saw it in stores. Oh, maybe not.
Oh, really?
It was. I played the demo.
Yeah.
Coming from the football guy.
Meh.
That shit is terrible.
Oh,
really?
Oh. I forgot I mentioned it. I forgot to mention it, you know, for what we've been playing.
Yeah.
That tech is so great, but they underutilize it with a shitty camera. The camera's always, like, right at your back. Like, close up to your back, so you can't see the entire field.
Oh,
so
wow.
You never give yourself that depth of field or that kind of, like, over the field look to where you can, like, kind of know where everyone is. All the quarterback throwing is mapped to the right analog stick. It's terrible. But the tech is so great. Like, it so much potential, and it's gone to waste by terrible design choices. Backbreaker, guys. Oh, man, I'm not even going to rent it. The demo's so bad. I'm not even going to rent it.
Who developed that?
It's the guy, Natural Motion.
Okay.
Natural Motion.
I know it's published by Sega. I'm not sure who the developer was.
Natural Motion.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
It's published by Sega? Man, they're just having a string
of bad
games.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was looking at something
there.
Else. Backbreaker is published by, isn't it 2K? Or is it, no.
Mm-mm. 2K is not going to touch that shit.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But also for PS3 is Planet Mini Golf. I'm assuming that's a PSN release next week.
Yeah.
For 360, Alpha Protocol is coming out next week, and so is Bass Pro Shops The Hunt.
Oh,
Brittany's buying it.
Pick of the week! For the Wii, we are getting Iron Man 2.
Wow.
And for DS, we are getting Picross 3D, which I thought are. Oh,
dude,
no, I'm sorry.
I am so getting
that
game.
That was last month. Sorry.
I was going to say, that sounds a little.
Yeah, it's old, but I'm still getting that game.
He's still getting it. Nice.
That's right.
That's my pick of the week, and it's from a month ago.
That's right. Sorry. DS is getting Diamond Trust of London. That
sounds
sucks. Interesting.
Go back to Picross 3D. Let's do a re-release. I swear, there's this one store in Perry, Georgia, down here. It's like a furniture store, and they do like a grand opening sale every year. I swear, they could do the same thing with Picross 3D. So
it's every year.
PC is getting the Modern Warfare 2 stimulus pack. Don't buy it.
No, don't.
It's too expensive.
Expensive.
It's Activision priced. Don't buy it.
Activision. Only right. 1500.
And that is your new release list. So we got to ask now. Pick of the week.
Ooh.
Picross 3D.
I thought that was already out.
Jeff, welcome to the conversation, dude. Stop posting on Twitter and pay attention to the fucking podcast.
Dude, seriously. Well, you know where my vote goes, so I'll leave it up to you guys.
I'm going to say Alpha Protocol.
Alpha Protocol.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Got
that.
Oh, so we're going back to
I'm going to say play more Red Dead.
Beat that shit, yo.
Digging the Alpha Protocol, dude?
I don't know, dude. It's Obsidian. It's been in development for fucking crazy long.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Not getting my hopes up.
All right, cool.
Real quick, Jeff, hurry up and beat Red Dead and beat Alan Wake, and we'll do a little 20-30 minute.
I will definitely have Alan Wake done by fucking Saturday.
Good, we can do a drunken spoiler episode.
Cool.
Those are always fun.
Always.
All right, cool. Travis, I'm going to get back to you and let you do some emails.
All right, regular email time. The first one is going to come from Ian Keir. He says, what's happening, Indus Crew? This is my second email, so I'm going to jump right into my question, and it's aimed at Chris mainly, with him being a new father and all. The other day I was at work, and one of my coworkers was asking what are some good games for their 7-year-old. So I asked what their kid was into. He had said that he's currently playing GTA 4.
Oh, because that's better.
That blew my mind. Maybe it's
how old is he?
7?
7.
Maybe it's just me, but I wouldn't let my kid at that age play things like GTA or Gears of War. My question is, when do you think an appropriate age would be? It's hard to judge based upon my age, mainly because of things that we have today. Me and my wife have discussed the issue, but it's kind of hard to come to a definitive answer. Really? I'm curious on your guys' thoughts. Well, take it easy, guys, and keep keeping it awesome. This is from Lowkey 8944.
Cool. Thank you. This is actually something that my wife and I have talked about, because my wife is, she's kind of a casual gamer. I mean, she plays some games and stuff like that, but the topic has come up, and you know, I mean, one of the pictures that I have of Liam on Facebook right now is him with a PS3 controller laying on him, and you know, the joke of getting him to start early and stuff like that.
When GTA 4 is right in front of him, right?
That's right. when it comes to something like that, I mean, I definitely don't think that it's a situation where he needs to be 17 before he plays it, but 7 is too young. For me, it's a situation where, when he's the age when he's old enough to understand exactly what's going on, and luckily I am a gamer, so I could actually sit with him and reassure him that it is still just a game, and you know, that way, like, all this violent video game bullshit that's out there in the media today doesn't take effect. You know,
that's the real key to it, is to, I mean, go by the general guidelines that are set by the ESRB. Yeah. And then just take it case by case, be involved with them and play games with them. And then you'll be able to make judgment calls as it goes.
Right. That's where it really matters. If you're a parent that isn't a gamer, then I think you should be looking at those ratings and taking them to heart.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if you're a parent that is a gamer, then you have the opportunity to play that game with your child.
Yeah.
And when it comes to something like GTA, it would be a situation that he would need to be 13, 14 years old, and I would be sitting there with him saying, just reassuring him that it's just a game and that it's nothing that he should take to heart and that kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, most kids at 13 or 14 years of age, they're going to know that. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, how you interact with your children and, you know, whether or not you feel comfortable, you know, having that conversation with them.
Right.
And, I mean, at least that's my opinion of it. And me and my wife has talked about it and we're pretty much in agreement on it.
Yeah. This is going to be a little hypocritical because of the fact that, you know, when I was that age, I was kind of playing video games too. I think 7 years old is too early to be playing video games, period. Now,
I'm trying to think when I first started.
I know I'm going to get backlash on this, like on the boards and everything. I think it's too early, period. At the age where kids are just starting school, just getting into, you know, real quote-unquote school, like, you know, kindergarten, really, you know, it's kindergarten, but like first grade and second grade, I think playing video games in general is a negative, it's just going to leave the negative effects with someone's schooling, because those first couple of years, those are the years that really, really ingrain in a child's mind whether or not, okay, is school something is going to be fun for me? Or is school something to do that I'm going to hate until I go home and play video games?
Right.
Big instance is I went to help my wife teach second grade, and I went to go help her in her classroom. And the first day, I had this little kid come up to me and say, hey, do you play
video games? Oh, I remember you telling me this story.
Do you play video games? Well, yeah, I do.
do you play Gears of War 2? It's my favorite game. This kid is seventh grade. Seven
well,
years
that's totally
old.
Different, dude.
But it, no. It's not totally different. What's the difference? He goes home and gets ready to play video games. The second he goes home, Gears of War or Tetris, he still goes home and the first thing he thinks about is video games. All right?
That's yeah,
the
first thing now. I played video games when I was first, seven, dude.
And I did too. And guess what? I did shit in school. All right?
Really?
Now, and
see, when, but how involved were your parents with your video
game?
Like
my
life?
Parents were controlling that shit. Like basically, like if I didn't get my homework done, I wasn't playing games.
Right. Yeah, my parents controlled it when I did bad. It needs to be controlled at first, and that's
yeah.
what was not.
Well,
it needs to be
that's what I was
going to
say
right
as
there.
A counter argument. It does need to be controlled at first, and that's why I would argue that. You might want to introduce it to them slowly as they are growing up through first and second grade. Because I know, you know, one guy who was a straight A student through high school. Mm-hmm. And then Halo came out when he just started college and he flunked out.
Right.
Like, because he had never played any video games and he got addicted hardcore and just ruined his life.
And I'm all about starting slow. But I think at seven, when that's the first year they're starting, like I said, quote unquote, real school.
Yeah.
I think at least, and I'm talking like, okay, it's okay, like maybe a couple of years down the line, like nine or 10. That's fine. But like seven, like right when they're starting school, I think it needs to kind of be the last thing that's on their mind.
Right.
I really
there
really
needs
do.
To be like a balance. Like I started playing video games when I was 5 years old. So.
Yeah.
But the thing was, my parents, they had me in sports. They had me in, like, outdoor activities. So, and my grandma, she's, like, a hardcore gamer. So, like, I'd always go to her house, and she'd be playing games. So, it was more like...
Wait, your grandma is a hardcore
gamer?
Oh,
dude, yeah, I could talk about this. She is insane. It's amazing.
Should have been the
That's
feature.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, it's she has, like, I kid you not, probably over 1,000 games, like, two of each system. She still has boxed NESs. Like,
can we have her on our show?
That's what I've said.
I know.
I said, if I go over for PAX West and we're doing a live show with her grandmother on the episode.
Yeah, no, my grandma and both my aunts, they're pretty hardcore gamers.
Nice.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
That's cool.
But, so yeah, it's like I'd come home, play games for maybe a couple hours, and then I'd have like soccer practice or t-ball practice or like what have you. And then there is always that balance. I don't know, maybe it's like a case-by-case basis, but it's not like I ever came home and I was like, oh my God, I need to play video games. I don't know if that was just because my parents' involvement in monitoring it. And then another thing, you know, you think of when we were playing games, I mean, the idea is still the same, but, you know, I was playing Super Mario World and like Zelda Link to the Past and said Mario RPG. And then kids nowadays, they come home and they have like Call of Duty and Gears of War and these like, you know, crazy,
yeah, like completely radical games.
Yeah.
I think when I, you know, do start introducing, you know, my future children into it, I will be introducing them with simple games and I will conservatively hand out more mature titles as they grow older. So, I mean, I'll hook up the old N64 and get them started on like Super Mario 64 or something or, you know, go download an emulator since no one's NES will work anymore. Or, you know, just... I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting them started with the old simple games.
Right.
Besides, then they'll know their history anyway.
Yeah. And you know, and I could sit here and say, yeah, I think 7 years old is too early to get them into video games, period. But, you know, what am I going to do? Stop playing video games until they're 8? So it's like, you know, what am I going to do to hide it? You know?
Right.
Stop playing. You know, you can't play this.
The real problem is that all their friends are going to be playing it, and they'll feel excluded or cheated from you and stuff.
And I'm in the same boat as Brittany, pretty much. I mean, I started gaming when I was like 5-6 years old.
Same here.
So, you know, it's kind of hypocritical for me to say, oh, well, it would be if I were to say that. I mean, for me, my son is going to be playing things like Leapfrog and shit like that. When he's, you know, 3-4 years old, and then you know, I'll get him started slow. It'll be like my goddaughter, Madeline. She started with the DS when she was like 5-6 years old. You know, that's what she started with. And now she has a Wii and she's 7 going on 8 now. And she has a Wii and she plays New Super Mario Bros. You know, so I mean, you know, it gets them in some of those games will get them into some of the games that we had when we were kids. So it's all about moderation, and You know, my biggest concern, right, you know, when it comes to gaming is, you know, finish your schoolwork first. You know, that's kind of the thing. I mean, when I was growing up, it was, you know, I was very, you know, determined to have all my schoolwork first before finished. Well, especially once I got to high school, before I started, you know, getting into my gaming and stuff like that. So it's all about moderation. And I think that, you know, you can have a child that plays video games at 14 and is playing mature titles at 14 and stuff like that, as long as he's moderated and as long as you're talking to him about the games he's playing and that kind of stuff.
True that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool deal. Well, that was a hell of an email.
That was.
Yeah, good job, Ian.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm pretty sure I'm holding back and I could talk on that for like another 30 minutes.
We could do an entire show on that topic right there, I'm sure.
Well, there you go. You now have another feature for the future.
Nice. We'll give you guys a call. You can come back.
Nice.
Let us know.
Next email, we're going to bring back somebody we haven't heard from in a long time.
John Wayne.
A fan of Jason, actually. Jason. J Spark. Big J Spark. He says, sup, Indus. J Spark here from Canada, Newfoundland. Wondering if...
Hey, he's a newfie.
Wondering if you can answer a question. Maybe it's hard, maybe it's easy. It's up to you. What game would you have a better time with your best friends? A, Battlefield Bad Company 2. B, MAG. C, Grand Theft Auto 4 with all the DLCs. See you guys, and good luck with the podcast. P.S. Indus Fest 2.
The deuce!
Okay, so he's asking,
is Rock Band an option?
Better game to play with your friends, Battlefield, let's see, MAG or Grand Theft Auto. I'm surprised he didn't put Modern Warfare in there.
I'm with Bees. Is Rock Band an option?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not.
How about Phantasy Star? Is that in there somewhere?
Grand Theft Auto 4 is fun for like for 30 minutes because like it's so fun. It's having all the cars, all the weapons, and the whole city to kind of like run over people. That's really fun for about a half hour. It's an easy question. I don't think MAG holds up in terms of longevity.
I don't think it holds up in terms of a shooter.
Good point. Battlefield Bad Company 2, easy on that list, J Spark. Easy on that list.
I would probably agree.
Yeah, it's just a fun game. Like me and Jeff, we got to get back on that game, man.
Oh fuck, dude!
We got to hop back on that pony. And I was really excited about the new DLC that Onslaught DLC. But from what I hear, what podcast was it? Was it We Can Confirm? Were they saying, well, the idea is really good, but they're kind of basing the DLC on the co-op DLC on time trials and leaderboards. Every single thing, like, even though it's like this four guys up against like this onslaught of enemies, it's all pre-planned and pre-canned. So like every single thing, like if there's a sniper on a left ridge one match, it's going to be that guy's going to be there at the same time. So there's no, like, you know how like Left 4 Dead 2 is like totally random. There's none of that randomness at all. So, like, it's pretty much their horde mode, but every enemy comes in the same time in the same place, and it really takes away. Like, it's fun the first time, but the second time you play it, it's like, okay, well, I've been here before.
Yeah.
So that's really sad to hear, because I was really hyped up about that DLC. But nonetheless, that gripe aside, that's not even out yet. Bad Company 2, J Spark, it's the truth. For real.
Well, you know, I have a 256 friends at any given time wanting to play games with me, so I'm going to have to go with Mag.
Mag for the win!
That's
a good answer.
Believe you, because your friends list can only go up to 100.
She has two PS3s.
Not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter.
I don't know.
All right,
gaming friends, like, or real life friends? Because my real life friends don't game. So I don't
I would hope it's his gaming friends.
Okay, then.
I would hope. But J Spark has surprised us before with some interesting emails. But emails aside, Chris, do we have any of those VMs that I love to hear?
I do. V, not B.
They're vowel movements.
Vowel movements.
Skype.
I think this one is from someone we know pretty well.
Hey guys. Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Listen to your question. What's it called? The reason I The reason I listen to all the podcasts and that shit is because I really can't bother reading. Like, I see all the news and that on the site, I look at the pictures, I read the title up to the first few lines, I turn it off. I just can't be bothered. But with the podcast, I just listen to it. And, yeah, that's how I know anything that happens.
I bet he likes audiobooks.
I can't be bothered reading things. I got other things to do.
I bet he don't.
Anyway, that's it. So just bite.
That is awesome. I had a voicemail from Fluffy Nuts, and I automatically assumed that it went in the email portion of the show. And I was completely wrong.
That's awesome. It's all right. It was a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, he kind of mentioned something that I think, Bees, you said, you talked about. It's just, you know, you don't have to read it with a podcast. You just listen and hear what they have to say about the news item, and you don't have to actually read it on the website.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And usually you'll get more personal insight on how they felt, because usually in a lot of the articles, they'll try to be more objective about it. So then you can just hear the tone of voice and, you know, that kind of stuff. So you get more human perspective on it sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Cool. All right, Travis.
All right. One last email we're going to do. We're going to shift everything up to the mailbag. The last email comes from our buddy Mike PSN08.
Hey, okay, cool.
All right. He says, hello again, Indus crew. I noticed that GameStop has been dropping prices on PS3 games like Super Street Fighter 4 Truth to $27.99 and 3D Game Heroes to $30, Uncharted 2 for $42, and so on. I say people that want these games should buy them now. What do you guys think of this? I also wanted to ask if you could build a first-person shooter for people to play. What game would you aim it towards? Modern Warfare 2 and Bad Company 2? I would make mine like Bad Company 2 due to the fact that I am so fucking addicted to this game. I always am having a blast, and my gaming backlog just expanded out of the house. One thing I am known as is a Sergeant C. Ford suicide maniac because I love blowing up buildings and vehicles. I get called Vagina Mike at times.
Vagina Mike.
I guess it's better than Blanche Tam Tom. So talk to you later, Mike PSN08. Wow, I don't know if I would like calling him Sergeant C4 or Vagina Mike. I think I know Vagina Mike. I like Vagina Mike.
Vagina Mike is definitely
Vag.tv.
Vagery.tv? What?
Vagery.
Alright, so, alright, if you were making a first person shooter, considering I don't play many first-person shooters, I would probably actually base it on Borderlands. That's probably the favorite one that I've played in the past however many years.
Yeah, you don't really play too many first-person shooters at all.
No.
That's the point. I don't really play them, so.
I mean, you're looking at, like, the best of two worlds when you're looking at Modern Warfare and you're looking at Battlefield. Battlefield just has that... Battlefield makes a game about teamwork. Hands down.
See, this is why you should be interested in Medal of Honor, the new one, because that seems like that's what it'll be, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, if they can meld these two games, you know, Modern Warfare and Battlefield, that'd be great, because Battlefield doesn't have is...
Well, that's what DICE is doing, you know? I mean, they're doing the multiplayer part, so...
Yeah,
well, DICE did Battlefield.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But Modern Warfare has, there's something about that gameplay that is just like sugar sweet.
It's Twitch. That basically you're dead, you're back in it.
The hit detection is spot on. It's just the speed, the handling, everything is right on.
That's what I've always said the way that game feels is 90% of what's so great about it.
And if you had that gameplay with the Battlefield, like just their mix of teamwork and action, And vehicles, that really helps the game as well. Man, you're talking about a badass game. And if Medal of Honor can do that, that with their name brand, because Medal of Honor game, we haven't had one in a while. But I'm sorry, 6-7 years ago, like back in 2002, 2003,
you think that still carries weight, though?
That was the go-to game. Everybody remembers Medal of Honor.
I think it does.
But do you think it still carries weight, though, after Modern Warfare?
It does for me. It does. I do.
For you, I'm talking about the general consensus of people.
As first-person shooter fans, I think so.
I don't think it's going to make a dent in Call of Duty's.
No one thought Battlefield was going to make a dent.
It really didn't when you look at the actual numbers.
It sold awesome.
No, it did sell awesome, but compared to Modern Warfare, no.
Nothing's going to sell. It's the number one interactive anything release ever. Ever.
Besides WoW.
Well, Modern Warfare. Well, besides WoW. Yeah.
They're talking about first day of the week.
I agree.
Battlefield did sell very freaking well, but it didn't put a dent in Modern Warfare's armor.
Okay, but this is what we're looking at. Okay, this is not okay. It's not like who's gonna be. I hate the term Halo killer. Okay, who's the Modern Warfare? I don't care about that. They're in a league of their own. Call of Duty's always gonna be. It's like the whole thing about the whole fight about who's gonna win the console war. Nobody's gonna catch Nintendo, so we don't even talk about them. It's all about 360 or PlayStation. It's kind of the same thing there.
My point is, do you think you should have said Battlefield sold really well?
Absolutely.
Modern War, Medal of Honor has not been in the game since Infinity Ward basically left EA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they can then steal some, I guess, some, basically steal the spotlight from either Modern Warfare, wow, or Battlefield.
How now, brown cow?
See, I think they could if the public who actually played Call of Duty knew what was happening at Activision.
But
90% of the people there don't even know who Infinity Ward are.
They're looking at friggin' Special Ops, like, oh my god, it's the next Call of Duty. It's gonna be freaking awesome.
Black Ops.
Like, this is gonna be awesome.
They don't even know they don't know the politics and what's going on behind that. I think if everybody knew that, you know, West and Zampella were going to EA, they'd be like, holy crap, I gotta check out whatever Respawn Studios is doing. But they don't know that.
But they don't know that, exactly.
And that's what Activision does great, is somehow they're like, if there isn't Nintendo, there would be Activision in terms of appealing to the casual market. Because they'll latch on with one franchise that appeals to like this strange middle ground of casual and hardcore players that just launches. They did the same thing with Guitar Hero. I mean, Guitar Hero sells so much better than Rock Band, or at least did.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So they are masters at getting name recognition, even if they're complete douchebags.
Mm-hmm. Nobody likes Activision. It's a known fact.
Yeah. See, but that's the problem. Nobody who knows about Activision likes Activision.
Right.
Exactly.
90% of the people who play Activision games, they're like, Activision, they've released the best games ever.
They don't even know Activision.
Who honestly says, I can't wait for that new Activision game to come out? No, no one says that. I mean, they don't know.
But Activision, Activision created the $15 price tag on map packs.
I'm sorry, that was $20, wasn't it?
Was it?
It was 15.
I thought it was 15.
Oh, it was 15?
Activision created the $60 price tag on PC games.
Yeah. And when more than 1 million people download that $15 map pack on day one,
that means it's going to be $20 next time.
Yeah, it's $20 next time. That's right.
Yeah, that's just saying, like, they don't know who Infinity Ward is. They don't know that they're going over to Medal of Honor or with EA. They have no idea. Yeah. And I think Medal of Honor has been gone for almost a decade. In terms of when it was really popular, I don't think it's going to hold any water at all in the industry with casual market.
I think it'll hold. I don't think it'll get that cult status with that, you know, that middle ground that I was talking about between hardcore and casual. Mm-hmm. But I think it will be more of a success in the hardcore market than it will be than the next Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will sell.
I think it will sell two, three, four million
copies easy. But it won't sell 10 and 12 million.
No, I don't think it's going to outsell Battlefield 2 anyway. No. Like, I don't think.
Battlefield?
I
would wager $50 that it would sell more than Battlefield.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Medal of Honor?
Do it.
Don't bet. Jeff has like 8 bets going this year so far.
Jeff, you got too many bets, man.
Get their money.
Wait till next year.
Yeah, but dude, Medal of Honor versus, well,
I think the Medal of Honor name is still recognizable.
Battlefield, I don't think that's niche, dude. Once it passes like 3 million, that's no longer niche. That's like mass market.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I'll take that bet. I will say that Medal of Honor will not sell as much as Battlefield Bad Company 2.
It depends on the wager. I will push this bet if the wager's good. What is Jeff saying? What does Jeff have to sing on your show, Bees?
Huh? Sing? Mm-hmm.
Sing.
Oh. It's got to be something Canadian.
I have some preferably Celine Dion songs.
Oh, he can sing. I don't know. Bastille Day by Rush.
Nice.
Oh yeah, sweet. Awesome. I've been practicing that for like weeks.
I should have picked a Tragically Hip song. Sorry.
I fucking hate Rush so much.
Don't lie. You know it's your favorite song to do in Rock Band.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll work out the logistics that to that bet later on in time. But yeah, for right now, really we've been like so set on the subject of video games that I need to get a little random. Chris, can you help me out, buddy?
It's time for another edition of.
If I ruled the world, my cock would be long, and I'd rock a land party in an edible thong.
Random questions from Aces Hoffman. Yeah.
Two questions this week, guys. Do you prefer mint chewing gum or fruit-flavored chewing gum? And what's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
Oh, good question. Oh, this could be a feature.
Let's start with a guess.
God damn.
Definitely mint. I'm not sure. I think I enjoyed the fruit-flavored back when I was, like, 5, I guess. Juicy
bubble,
fruit.
Yeah, bubble.
Yeah, bubble. Double bubble whatever. And
yeah.
Something. Bubble, I don't bubble. Know. I like, bubble. I like 5 gum, actually. And as for Kevin Smith, well,
let's,
I don't know.
Let's
I guess,
go question
I guess
by
the
question
first Clerks.
Ooh, Clerks.
Well, I guess I just skipped that. Sorry about that.
First, that's fine. That's fine.
I would have to say gum. I mean, I love mint, but I just buy them as soon. Okay, this is sound really bad.
No,
as soon as they enter my mouth,
mint gum
I buy
or fruit flavored gum.
So I'd say no, not fruit flavored gum, okay. Just mint gum.
Mint
combination.
Gum.
Yes.
You should just eat some Altoids and some gum at the same time.
Oh man, God. There you go. Hardcore.
That's fucking flavor overload right there.
I know, right?
That's like the Mountain Dew extreme of like fresh breath.
I was listening to some radio show like 5 years ago and they had this dare where this guy had to eat a whole box of Altoids at the same time. And he like almost had a seizure and like spewed them all over the electrical equipment and then they couldn't take calls for the rest of the morning.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh shit.
So don't try that.
Jeff, gum?
It depends. If I'm going for like freshness, definitely mint. But if I'm going for like pure flavor, I like the fruity shit. Maybe a little bit of cinnamon.
Shit. Yeah, I'm actually 100% with Jeff on this one.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm 100% with you, man. If I want straight up flavor with the gum, I would choose a fruity gum, like Juicy Fruit or something like that. But
see, if I want straight up flavor with gum, I buy a candy bar. So, I don't know where you guys are going with this.
Is everybody else gone already?
Yeah, it's all you, man.
It's all me? Oh, wow. I want to drop the bomb on you. I only like gum if it's absolutely necessary. Like, if like my breath is kicking, I need some gum right now. Give it to me. Like, I'll eat gum there. But
I'm gonna go get
when you ask a
quick.
Stranger, you're like, hey, do you have some gum?
Yeah. So, it's like, if it's necessary. But if I have a choice, it's mints, without a doubt. Altoids. I like those little cheap mints, those little powdery cheap mints you can get at like the desk at the
those are
money.
At the counter at the bank. You just like reach
kind
in
of like disintegrate and melt in your mouth.
Oh, I love that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know
it turns into like a salvious like.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. It's weird. Gross. I don't know if it's a solid or a liquid. It's really
it's
crazy.
It's like chewing on flavored chalk.
No, it's great, but it tastes good. Yeah. So yeah, I like mints all the way. Gum if it's the only option. All
right, cool. Kevin Smith movie.
Go ahead, Bees.
This is Clerks the first one, I guess. I just like them playing hockey on the roof.
Yeah, that's fun.
Fun fact about me, I haven't seen movies that are apparently important, therefore...
Go listen to the first 10 episodes of The Noobketeers, you will realize that Britt hasn't seen a single movie since 1983.
I was born in 88, but that works.
Yeah. You haven't seen a Kevin Smith movie?
No. What movies?
Dude, she hasn't seen anything. She hasn't seen any of the classic SNL
Clerks,
movies.
Clerks,
Chasing Amy, Dogma,
yep, she hasn't seen any of those.
Straight Back, Jersey Girl, come on, anything!
Nope.
She hasn't seen Ace Ventura or Dumb and Dumber.
I saw Dumb and Dumber.
She's probably,
I know, because
probably better
she hasn't seen Spaceballs or Men in Tights.
Oh, you haven't seen Spaceballs?
I have now.
You saw Super Troopers?
Yeah.
I've seen Super Troopers.
Woot woot.
And that's about it. The only movie that Broken Lizard's done that was actually half decent.
Have you seen Coming to America?
Slammin' Salmon.
Nope.
Oh, damn.
I still need to see that. You were talking about that.
Yes, you do. You gotta see Slammin' Salmon. You know, that Coming to America is unfair. I know a lot of people have not seen Coming to America.
Dude, Coming to America is the best Eddie Murphy movie ever.
Ever.
I've seen Coming to America in about 30-second clips over the past 2 years on Comedy Central.
I do not want to see the Comedy Central version. It's so clipped. So clipped and edited.
Please refrain from using any further obscenities in the presence of these people.
Jeff, Kevin Smith.
Oh, shit, dude. Chasing Amy. Chasing Amy or Mallrats, probably.
Mallrats
is pretty fucking awesome.
I think I'm just that the dude first who stares at that one picture.
Yeah.
It's a schooner.
It's a sailboat, yeah.
Like, you dumb bastard. It's not a schooner. It's a sailboat.
Yeah, I hate those things.
I think I'm going to be all by myself here. I'm gonna go with Dogma.
Dogma
you
was pretty
you
good,
will be by yourself, but I do like Dogma a lot.
Isn't he doing a big commercial movie now? Next? Or something?
Isn't he doing something? A comic book movie?
Yeah, the Green Lantern.
He's doing Green Lantern, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing Green Lantern?
Isn't it? It was Seth Rogen.
Oh, that's going to be cool. Pretty sure he is. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
That's going to be bizarre.
And Brittany won't see it.
Nope.
In mine, I'm kind of with Jeff. He was 50-50 on it, but I'm 100% chasing Amy. I think as a director, that was his best foot forward. As a writer and a director, there was no better story or better movie he can make than that. It was really, really good. And in performances it ends kind of weird, yeah, but performance, honestly, I'm not a big Ben Affleck fan, but one of his best roles ever. As Holden McNeil. Wow, I knew the actual character's name.
Wow.
But that's
I've
one
seen
of his,
Chasing Amy like
and then,
once.
And then so Jason Lee, who's almost great in anything he does. He's equally great in that. I mean, just great movie. Actually, it's more of a chick flick than any of his movies, which are full of dick.
That is definitely
which are mostly dick and fart jokes, which are great. But it's a really good movie.
Brittany wants to see them all.
No, I don't like chick flicks. I like dick and fart movies.
Oh no,
that's why
plenty.
I said you wanted to see them.
No.
There's dick and fart
there's
movies.
Plenty of dick and fart jokes in Chasing Amy. Plenty, because they're two comic book writers about a comic book that's full of dick and fart jokes. So it's full of it, but it's more
literally.
Yeah. So, but Chasing Amy for the win.
Sold.
Cool. All right. I think that's it, right? Do question of the week, and then we can get the hell out of
get
here.
Get the hell out of here.
This is a long ass show, man.
Sorry, all right, so long winded.
No, we're all long winded, man. It's fine. All right, so question of the week for next week. Next week we're doing our contest entries for the monthly Amazon gift card.
Ooh, can I enter?
Sure,
yeah.
Why not?
$30, yo.
Yeah, Jeff. No, Travis. Travis has got the card this week, and he actually threw an extra $10 on there. So you're entering for a $30 Amazon gift card. And the contest question is, if you could design Dan's rival in Street Fighter, what would he look like? What would his moves be? All that other kind of stuff. Give us all the information you want. It doesn't matter how much you give, but we've actually gotten several more entries.
Yeah, so, I'm not gonna lie. I usually don't pre-read these, but I have read these before.
Some of the
shit's
funny.
They brought the fucking funny.
Yeah.
Wow, so, these are good.
Yeah, definitely. Check out we've got a topic up on VG Evo explaining the contest in more detail. But basically, we are looking for a humorous rival for Dan in Street Fighter. So if you could design the rival, what would he or she be? And you can send the answer to the question of the week to our email address. That is email@interactivedistractions.com. Leave us a
voicemail. I already know who I'm going to click.
Leave us a voicemail. That is 706-760-4337.
Hey, that's like leak, but it's not.
And then you can also get us on Google Talk. That is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can also follow us individually as Indus Chris, Indus Jason, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Hey, there he is. We also have a Facebook group that nobody ever updates, and that is the Interactive Distractions Podcast.
Hey, we have one of those.
Before we move on, Britton Bees, why don't you guys pick your shit?
What? Oh,
pick
yeah.
Our shit, Bees.
Pick your shit.
Yeah, I just posted episode 25. I guess this will be going up on Monday, so it'll be a couple days old. But episode 25 of the Noob Gateers. You can check it out at vagary.tv or vagary.tv/noobgeteers. I don't know, just highly recommend our show, vagary.tv, and, you know, check us out on Twitter and Facebook, like every other podcast out there. Britt, say something.
Hi.
You're more interesting.
Oh,
hi. That- yes, that is the real reason you want to listen to the Noobgeteers, is because Britt says stuff like that.
Screw you.
And pimp your Twitter. Pimp your Twitter, too, because you're all over that.
Oh, yeah.
Britt is.
Yeah. You can find me on the Twitter at Brit5091.
Twitter sensation.
Well, you know. JK. You are Noobgeteers instead of two zeros. I should clarify that.
Everybody always gets that wrong.
I know.
It's frustrating.
But, I mean, other than that, B's pretty much said it all, so.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well,
said it all.
I thank you guys very much for being on the show with us today. And
today?
Also this week.
Sorry. Never mind.
These past 2 days since we've actually spanned a day. I also wanted to, I did it off air, but I wanted to once again apologize for the confusion of last week because we kind of double booked. But, you know, we were glad that you were able to come on this week.
I was really pissed about that.
Yeah, thanks, Luck.
It's all my fault.
Funny story about that. He sent me the email saying that you guys were doing the interview with that guy, and I was like, oh, sweet. I can't wait to talk to him and ask him some questions. This is the way, let me clarify, you guys aren't going to be on that episode.
And I was like, yeah, I didn't communicate that well enough, did I?
That was crazy, because I already knew we weren't going to be on that, and I saw Bees, and he was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm like, oh.
I didn't mention anything about it, so about us not being on there. So I was like, oh,
we need to work on those like, communication skills,
because I haven't even played the games, but I thought it was cool.
It's funny. It's all good.
All right. Well, anybody have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
The deuce.
The deuce is happening November 5th, 6th,
and 7th.
Again
for 2010.
2010. That is happening. You can also check out VG Evo for more information on IndusFest The Deuce. And hope you guys can make it. We've got a lot of people coming in town so far. It's going to be awesome. So, mm-hmm.
No excuses. I'm looking at you, Brit and Bees.
I'm coming.
Sounds good.
Try.
I seriously have no excuses. No,
that's right. You're only 2 hours away. And Travis said you could crash. That's no excuses, man. All right, cool. Well, let's get out of here. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it.
Please.
So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And...
Oh, I'm Jeff. Sorry, I thought it was
Jeff. Jeff, stop looking at Twitter.
I'm not.
Podcast.
I was waiting for Brittany and Bees to be like, and I'm blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, we just went over that. I'm going to get another drink. Or not.
And they're Bees and Brittany. They're the Noobgeteers. Check them out at vagary.tv.
Goose sucks.
Goose sucks. Terrible.
Oh, that's awesome. thank you guys for listening. Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.
Peace!